That has been sent out, we expecting to have the three ministers as identified. That is the Minister of Water and Sanitation, Minister of Local Government and Social Affairs, Minister of Rural Development, Land Affairs and Rural Development, the Honorable Gwinde. That has been the invitation sent out. At the level of spheres of government, I think the invite has gone to the provincial government in the Western Cape and the local government in the Western Cape. So in that line, what we'll then do is that we'll request that members of the different portfolios that are here, because I think we have today, I see that they have sort of expanded even the invites that were sent out. Just to record members that are here from different portfolios that are here. I think we'll start with members, and then from there we'll then go to the executive, which is visible in front of us and which we appreciate.
Excuse me, Chairperson, before we continue, maybe know why the Chairperson of Water and Sanitation is not present. I mean, we're in a crisis here, and she's not here, or he's not here.
Well, the reason that we have started the meeting and then appointed an acting chair is because we understand the problem, but we may not have the details of the problem of the chair now. But what I understand is that he, in the morning, had some problems which cannot be disclosed, I think, from now. So let's allow the process that we have accepted that apology, and then let's proceed with the meeting. I think it's not only the chair that will find a solution to the problems that we're dealing with here. I think all of us will have to put our heads together and then be able to be guided proper by the plan that is in place and be able to give leadership on such matters as that was on the ground. I think that everybody who's here are leaders within their own rights, in fact, to be able to make a decision and to assist the process. Thank you. On that note, can we sort of do it as quickly as possible to get the from portfolios that are here?
Good morning, Chair. I'm Leon Masson. I'm a member of the Portfolio Committee of Water and Sanitation.
Good morning, Chair and everyone. I'm Annette Stein, from member of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries.
Morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm X Ngweze, member of the COPTER Portfolio Committee.
Morning, members. My name is Pieter van Dalen. I'm a member of the Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries Portfolio Committee.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Rainy Hugo. I'm a member of Water and Sanitation.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning to everyone, ministers as well. I'm Sibusiso Mncwabe, a member of Portfolio Committee of Agriculture, Forest and Fisheries. Thank you.
Morning, colleagues. My name is
Excuse me. I'm here. I'm not dead. You're still a fighter. You must observe this.
Good morning, servants of the people. My name is Nazir Paulson, and I'm a member of the Portfolio Committee for Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries.
Morning, colleagues. My name is Tutu Manana, a member of the Portfolio Committee Water and Sanitation.
Morning. My name is Lama Jais. I'm a member of Agriculture, Forestry.
Chairperson, morning, members. As a member of Portfolio Committee on Water and Sanitation.
Morning. Name is Bruce Masondo, COPTER Portfolio Committee.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Andrew Madela. I am a member of the Agricultural, Forestry and Fisheries Portfolio Committee. Thank you.
Morning, Acting Chair, Honourable Members, Ministers, guests, and colleagues. I'm Linda Radunjwa. I'm the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Health.
Morning, Acting Chair, Honourable Ministers. My name is Lindiwe Masebo, Chairperson of Science and Technology Portfolio Committee.
Richard Mtagane, Coctor.
Good morning, everybody. Joyce Maluleke, member of Coctor Portfolio Committee.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Agnes Duck, and I'm a member of Science and Technology.
Abshen, Kensan Wagabi Langolu, and one of the members at Anza Ulia Shamati Nangolulo. Nakensa.
Sani Bonani, igama lami uMakoti Sibongile Khawula. Imemba yale komiti ngiyabonga.
Yes, all members have introduced themselves. I think we now know who here from members of parliament. Can we come to the departments quickly? Firstly, I acknowledge and see Minister of Water and Sanitation, Minister Kunyan. And then followed by, you can, as you do that, maybe I see that there's delegation from the department. We can be able just to do a brief presentation, what's called an introduction for those that are here. So everybody's on record of this engagement, because we wanted to ascertain that it is really covering a number of people that we expected them to be here.
Thank you very much, Chair, morning, Honourable Minister, Honourable Members, Officials. My name is Nomvula Paula Mukonyani. I'm the Minister for Water and Sanitation.
Thank you very much, Chair of the session. My name is Des Van Rooyen, Minister of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair, Ministers, and Honourable Members and colleagues. My name is Fiso Mkize. I'm the Acting Director General for the Water and Sanitation Department. On my right is Advocate Mosimpacha, SC. On my far left is Trevor Balza. Dr. Muemo, Tele Muemo, CE of Water Research Commission, that's again, Zandile Mate, DDG for Infrastructure, Togo Sikwaza, DDG Regulation, and Pagamani Butelezi, the CE of Overbeck Water Board. Thank you. And Rashid Khan, the provincial head of Western Cape, and Poshia Makanya, the provincial head for Eastern Cape.
And Minister Des Van Rooyen, the DG?
No, we have the head of the National Disaster Management Center, Dr. Tauma Park. I think it's the one who's leading our delegation technically.
Okay. Can we identify Dr.?
Morning, Chairperson. I'm Anton Bredel, MEC for Local Government, Environmental Affairs and Development Planning in the Western Cape.
Thank you very much.
Good morning, Graham Walter, Head of Department, Local Government, Western Cape Province.
Good morning, colleagues. I'm Maurice Brown from Municipal Infrastructure, Department of Local Government.
Morning, Acting Chair, Peter Poy from Provincial Department of Agriculture.
Good morning, Acting Chair and Ministers. My name is Carl Opperman from Agri Western Cape, with also with Agri SA.
Good morning, Chair. I'm Rukwir White from Agri SA.
Good morning, all protocol observed. Ismail Atli from the Department of Local Government, Western Cape.
morning, my name is Ida Barnard. I also come from the Department of Local Government, Western Cape.
Minister, does you make mention of the head of disaster management? And we have not seen, and I thought you will just rise as the minister. Is the person here, Are you here?
Yes, I'm here, Chair.
You are presenting, that's why you are far. You are far from your boss. Not far from the minister. No, thank you very much. We appreciate your presence.
Thank you. Good morning, Chair. Honorable members, ministers, MEC, HODs, colleagues, Mapaka Dau is my name, head of the National Disaster Management Center. And from the National Disaster Management side, supported by Ms. Anne Brewer, who is the chief director responsible for legislation and policy management. Back there. Next to her is Mr. Dechlen Pillay, the director responsible for early warning and capability systems. We also have colleagues from agriculture and weather service who could also be afforded the opportunity to introduce themselves, as well as colleagues from provinces. Thank you.
Thank you very much. As we proceed with introduction, we have apologies. In the list that I just want to confirm first the people that were invited to be part of this meeting. The Eastern Cape Provincial Department of Cooperative Governance, there's an apology there. We invited the MEC. The reason that this was done is because the issues that we're dealing with are not only confined to the Eastern Cape. We have just received reports and through the oversight that the Eastern Cape is facing a similar situation, if not worse. So we invited the MEC there to be part of us. Agri-SA, I'm not sure if there's anyone from Agri-SA. Agri-SA that are here. South African Institute for Civil Engineering. We don't have them here. So, look, we have quite a number of apologies. I'll only read only to the Minister of Agriculture and the Minister for Rural Development and Land Affairs, which I've already made mention of that area. And those are the apologies that we have. We are informed that the Western, the city of Cape Town will arrive at 10. So I think by that time, presentation will be somewhere in the middle. Because what is very key for us is to hear from the executive and disaster management. The reason that they will arrive at 10, obviously, are not clearly stated here, but nonetheless, we'll welcome them when they arrive here. Therefore, what I'm going to ask,
Chairperson, I think we also need to recognize that the meeting was officially called for 10 and it changed late. There were some other people that also were not aware. I made them aware by this morning. So I think we also just need to recognize some of the other names that you have mentioned might also arrive a bit late, maybe.
Chairperson, yes. Also, Kauga Municipality and Nelson Mandela will be at 10. They only flew out this morning. So, you know, myself didn't even know that he changed to 9 o'clock.
Now that there's been this change of time, it means that we'll have to take it easy to be able to accommodate the day, because when I look at my watch now, I think it's already 10 now, meaning that we're already expecting them to be here. So what we're going to do, therefore, is that we're going to request, because Minister Mgonyana will be leaving us too to go and join Cabinet. She has put an apology. You know, today it's Cabinet Day, and there are certain responsibilities that she will have to go and present at Cabinet. So what we're going to do is that we're going to allow her at 10 o'clock to leave the meeting, and then I think Honorable Desmond Ryan will continue with us until the end of the meeting, which is quite very important because I see that the hand there before you, Honorable Sandro. Mam Kaula?
Shalanga, no man yapuka ni lungelo nami. Kanti kubulakuthiwa wonke amalungelo amalanguage avumelekile. Anginawo utolika ngiyaku oversight, anginawo utolika la. Angazi ngempela noma ngiyaxosha ephalamende ngenziwa ngiyarishafulisha.
I think abantu bepalamende mamkhawula kumele kube yibo abalungisayo because kuyaziwa ukuthi ma uza ekomitini uzawona abantu bakho abakuncedayo. So angazi ke ukuthi kuzabe kwenze njani ukuthi namhlanje bahlala bakhona sonke lesikhathi angazi ukuthi baxoshiwe or baphi singazama ukuthi kuke kubuzwe kumamadiya lapho ukuthi but bacelile ukuthi babe khona mamkhawula sengacela nje ukuthi bathole labo bantu labo bakwazi ukunceda ukwazi ukukhuluma nawe ukukhululekile emithinini so kuzayenza njalo ma
ngiyabonga sihlalo kuyimanje kuzofuna ni-reverse nisho bonke seniqalile ngikhona
okay mamkhawula I think kubalulekile loku kushoyo but I think yeah. Honourable Basson, can we come to the point?
Chairperson, I don't know what the honourable member has really said, but Chairperson, I think it's unacceptable for the minister in an important meeting like this. We're going to leave in 20 minutes. We haven't even started. Chairperson, it creates this problem that the minister takes her work as in the cabinet more important than a drought issue in the Western Cape, Eastern Cape, and all over the country. And I would ask the minister to reconsider, apologize going to that meeting and stick with us here so that we can resolve the problems on the drought issue.
Before the minister comes in,
thank you, Chairperson. It's unfortunately honorable person because we cannot tell the minister to stay here while she has already had some other issues. We are supposed to start this meeting at 9. You have to put the blame on the administration side because we are supposed to start at 9, then we reschedule it at 10. So we can't just say the minister mustn't go to the cabinet meeting because we want the minister to brief us about the issue. We know how sensitive is this thing.
Okay.
Thank you.
No, that's fine. That's fine, colleagues, let's do this so that we always maintain the decor of this meeting moving forward. Is that I said that there's an apology of the minister that she will request to leave at 10 to attend cabinet, right? Now, our approach, therefore, must be either you want to persuade that the minister remains, but we must hear her. So that you can then weigh options of the issues that are before cabinet that you have to deal with. Maybe are related to the very same issues that we're dealing with here. We may not know. So without really getting into the level that we sort of begin to, point each other into the defense. There's no politics today here. The approach that we're going to do is for all of us to understand each other and then to be able to get the message to the public. Because the public out there is the one that is looking upon us. Give them answers of challenges that we are faced with currently on issues that we're dealing with. So Minister, I'm not putting you in the spotlight, but I think it's important that you can want to respond to a point made by colleagues.
Thank you very much, Chair of the meeting, and honourable members. I have to go to the 10:30 Cabinet Committee meeting. I also want to remind members, especially of the portfolio that I account to, that this is a follow-up meeting where we agreed that there would be an integrated report on disaster management that is linked also to the drought. And hence today we have a team led by the Minister of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs, who's the convener of the National Disaster Management. And in our presentation today, we're not going to be presenting two extremely different presentations here. And my being here was again a demonstration of the respect of Parliament and then an understanding of the fact that we all had to come and appear here. So I would beg your indulgence, Chair, that you afford ourselves
led by Minister Van Rooyen, who's the chair of cooperative governance, to do an integrated presentation as it is going to be done by Dr. Tau, as well as Trevor Balza on behalf of the IMT, the Interministerial Task Team on Disaster Management. Thank you very much, Chair.
Members, that's the point that is made by the Minister. But in that point that she's making is that there's only one consolidated presentation. And then therefore she's requesting to leave and attend the Cabinet Committee. And then Honorable Desmond Wayne will then take us through the senior managers in both the departments who are dealing with this matter on a day-to-day basis. Are we okay with that point, Honorable Swami, so that we allow that?
Chairperson, no, I'm not satisfied with that. The minister is once again dodging her responsibility. Minister, you are. You are dodging your responsibility because there's a lot of questions that we need to ask you as the Minister of Water and Sanitation. Your involvement in the drought crisis, what you are going to do, and you're going to leave us. You're going to leave that. Are we going to get those answers from the minister?
No. I think we are going to... I think what we should do, colleagues, I know in between this joint meeting, we always have our portfolio committee meeting where we process a number of these issues. Right? Now, what we should do for the sake of progress is that let's invite the presentation. But maybe before we invite the presentation, we still have 10 minutes that Minister Mokonyane may want to comment on critical areas that, in fact, the department will have to look at. But most of those issues we know they will be covered in the main report that is going to be presented. Unless, Honorable Basson, there will be a specific question that you may want to raise now, so that when the Minister speaks on that part, but I don't want us to hold her. We have to allow her to go there. We have Honorable Des Van Rooyen here. And there's going to be continuation of this meeting. It's not the one-off meeting. Because I think we have to resolve that there must be a program of monitoring this department and its performance moving forward on issues of drought. And I think we'll have to deal with that at the committee. Even as we close the meeting here, the joint committees, we'll have to do that exercise. So my appeal is that if there's anything that is very urgent at the level that you may want to raise it, nothing stops you to raise it, because I don't want a situation where you're surprised when the minister is here and there's still 10 minutes before we can go to the main issue. If there's any, you can raise it now, so that maybe the minister can respond as she thinks, because he has to leave in the next few minutes.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, there's a few, but I think one I will ask now is that, Minister, there is a proposal on the table from MSC, a Mediterranean shipping company, that have desalination plants on board of their ships with docks in Cape Town that wants to give water to the city of Cape Town for free, but we need to get approval from the harbour, and we want to know, and security, and we need to know whether your department, if the information is given to your department, whether you will assist in getting that water downloaded in the harbour. The others I would first leave for the minister to answer this.
Chip? Yeah, no.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. My name is Lindwe Masego. I think we have wasted enough time. 20 minutes gone, arguing on something we don't know. Honorable is a true person. He's got a subjective matter that he could have discussed with the minister. There's nothing wrong. The minister is here. They want to present and finish, and then you can ask questions. But also, this is a joint committee meeting, and there are issues. She has just explained that it's not the first meeting. You have said it's not the last meeting. So you've got all the time from water and sanitation to do that. Can we give the minister and the department the joint presentation to take place? Please.
There was a specific question I would like to ask the minister, and that was around the Glen William Dam. What is the status of that? Can you please just inform us?
Now, you see now, we're now going to spoil this opportunity of having the aggressive with us and begin to raise technical issues. I said earlier that there are two aggressive, what you call a senior people in the department that deal with such matters. The point that Honorable Baswan has raised, I think Mamaseko is correct that you may want to take bilateral quickly with the minister on that particular issue. The new thing is all of us don't know about it. You may want to take it up with the minister as a matter of decision, depending on, you may wait for her to come back from cabinet. We have access, we have a number too. You can call the minister and talk to the minister, and then maybe there's a ship there. All of us may go and drink the water from the ship. Who knows? We don't know this thing. So I want us now to proceed. Yes, ma'am.
Chair, please direct us. We can't be subjected to issues of the portfolio committee of water. We've been invited to come and listen to a presentation. Can the minister please start with her presentation? We are humbly requesting.
No, that's fine. We've closed the issue, ma'am. We've closed the issue. What we'll then do is that we'll then invite Minister Des van Rooyen together with his entourage to now make a presentation. And I think what we'll then do, we'll allow them to make a presentation and we'll note all the questions or clarifications that we want to raise. But we still have other presentations from other levels that we have invited here. So we'll then combine the whole discussion into one after we have received all the presentations. So on that note is that, Minister, you are allowed to leave at 10, and then a Honorable Des, you can invite the presenter to present the document.
Thank you once more, Chairperson. Chair, I must indicate that it's our collective honor as well as our appreciation to be joining here today as we provide an update on the current drought situation. Also, Chair, as you are all aware, since 2015, the President established the Interministerial Task Team, and this team has been actively championing integrated efforts to ensure that the country responds effectively to a drought situation. I must indicate, Chair, just recently the team has already met twice since the beginning of this year. We met at the end of January, and we also met just recently on the 6th of February to receive reports on the status of the drought situation and also to consider our integrated response to the situation. Just a brief update of the national situation on drought before we allow the presentation to be made. Chairperson, our country remains gripped by the drought situation with all the Cape provinces affected at this. Here we are referring to the Western Cape, Northern Cape, and the Eastern Cape. And the three provinces currently declared provincial disaster areas. These drought conditions are evidently having a profound and negative implications on the economies of the affected provinces, with a subsequent effect on the national economic chapter. But
The reports are also pointing to the fact that the tourism sector is also feeling the shock, particularly here in the Western Cape. According to the Cape Town tourism information that has been shared through the African News Agency, the agency has been informed by its members that they have been receiving cancellation for both international and domestic travelers, meaning prospective visitors have questions and are also looking for clarity regarding the water crisis and also what are the contingency plans. And I must indicate, Chair, that as long as there is uncertainty about the water crisis, there will be an impact. Hence, it's important that we collaborate and work together to provide clarity. Chair, it should be borne in mind that this situation is compounded by climate change as well as the increasing demand for water resources in response to the needs of the increasing population and the increasing built environment and, of course, settlements. It's important for honorable members to agree with us when we argue that the drought situation cannot be examined in isolation from the primary development challenge facing this country. In particular, Chair, it is critical to analyze the daily development challenges which either increase vulnerability to drought or increase its severity, and which are the factors we as the collective leadership must work tirelessly in a concerted manner to address. These factors include, but of course are not limited to, the state of local government and its ability to provide services in a sustainable manner and to maintain those services. The capacity of disaster management centers at local, provincial, and national levels. I must indicate, as it will be properly emphasized in our comprehensive presentation, that most municipalities and certain provinces certainly run at a low capacity and resources for this specific function. Chairperson and honorable members, the effect of the current drought can be seen in economic, social, and of course environmental dimensions. For instance, the Western Cape agricultural sector reports the following decline linked to drought: 10% decline in productive, but also a decline of as little as 10% to agricultural productivity, as you are all aware, could lead to serious contraction in the sector, leading to a drop in exports as well as significant job losses. But also potential market closures, which could lead to serious consequences, particularly for export-oriented subsectors such as fruit. Compounded by the effects of climate change and the ever-increasing needs for services and resources, the above factors, Chairperson, require urgent attention to ensure that the country is placed on the correct developmental footing to provide its services in a sustainable manner in line with the National Development Plan, Vision 2030. What are the current measures to manage the drought situation, Chair? It must be acknowledged that our country is world-renowned in terms of its disaster management system. This is because it's in line with our constitution, the country's Disaster Management Act, among other things, is regarded as one of the best globally in the management of risk, as it places emphasis on prevention, preparedness, and emergency response. Notable is that it prescribes key institutional measures, that is both political and technical, which are required in the management of risk, both proactively and, of course, reactively, and how we handle some of the major emergencies and disasters recently.
pros to that. NYSMA and many others. The floods in KZN clearly shows, I mean, that the capacity to deal with these things is highly, highly there. Now, Chairperson, we are the Chairperson of the South African Development Committee, SADC. And as a result of that, we are also looking at ways of ensuring that cross-border and regional impact of drought situation are mitigated to ensure resilience for the region. Measures in this regard will include a regional interministerial conference on disaster management to be preceded by a SADC technical committee meeting, which is scheduled for March this year. And of course, this technical process will be led by the head of the National Disaster Management Center. What are the notable interventions that have been realized hitherto since the outbreak of this severe drought situation? Chairperson, albeit still facing challenges, a number of measures have been implemented and are bearing fruits. In Tahadia, these include issuing of early warning messages on a regular basis, drilling and equipping of boreholes across all provinces, the application of water restrictions to regulate use of water, the provision of animal feed and fodder, water tankering in areas of severe need, the promotion of the use of drought-resistant cultivars, reduction of water usage by industries and other users such as crop farmers, but also change of timing of cultivation and irrigation. I mean, the list is long, so I can't mention all of these measures. And I must indicate there has been some substantial financial allocation assigned to various programs. I will cite an example of here in the Western Cape. Last year, in August, we allocated an amount of 74.8 million to deal with this situation. I know in our last meeting we also reported on this. And I must indicate we are currently in the process of considering fresh submission that has been received from the three provinces. This includes Northern Cape as well as Eastern Cape provinces. The unfolding interventions share are receiving the full blessings and guidance of our interministerial task team, and key decisions have been taken to date, and I will cite some few of those important decisions that have been taken that we think we should share with honorable members. While I've spoken to the issue of financial allocations, but also we have approved and of course started implementing our national drought communication strategy, and we are holding regular briefing to the public using media briefings as well as press statements. But we are currently, as guided by the collective of the IMTT, we are currently supporting the head of the National Disaster Management Center to classify this drought as a national disaster. This process, we hoped to have it finalized before Wednesday, the 14th of February. I must indicate, Chair, that consultations are in the final stages to prepare information for the IMTT to consider mandating myself to declare a national state of disaster. We are hoping as the IMTT that this will be finalized within a month from now. Considering the fact that we've got 9 provinces that we need to collect information from. Chairperson, the classification of the drought as a national disaster will legally assign the responsibility to the national executive to coordinate a disaster. While a declaration, which we are effecting in due course, will empower the minister or his delegate to issue regulation or directives in dealing with the disaster. This, of course, will go a long way in enhancing current measures for the dealing with the disaster. It will also ensure that provinces which are not currently declared can be covered through measures to prevent and mitigate against the drought situation in the spirit of disaster risk reduction as compared to disaster prevention, disaster management, because it's very costly to manage a disaster. So we will be investing more on our risk reduction measures. And that's why the declaration will empower us then to look into all the other provinces in a very proactive fashion. But then I must indicate that the IMTT agreed that it should meet monthly instead of quarterly because of the severity of this situation. So that simply suggests that every month the nation will be updated on what is our approach to the problem at hand. Now, to get more detailed information into our approach as an entity, I'm going to allow Dr. Tau, of course assisted by other members of the NTT Technical Committee, to take us through the presentation. I must indicate this is a combined presentation from all role players in the NTT, ranging from the weather services, South African weather services, up to, of course, our GCIS, communication plan. So it's a quite an inclusive and a collaborative product. So, Chairperson, through you, could you please allow Dr. Dawood to lead the presentation? Of course, we'll be supported by other members of the technical committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Minister, for your input. That sort of lay a foundation for a presentation. Maybe what we should do as you start with your presentation, just to inform members of the composition of the IMTT, generally the team that you are responsible of, who are the role players there, so that all of us are at one. It goes back to the point earlier that the Minister raised of water, that the report will cover even health department activities. I think it's important that you sort of outline that part so that all of us understand who are the role players. Because I see even at the level of portfolio committees here, the Committee of Health has taken an interest into the developments with regard to issues of drought. So I think you'll have to assist with that regard. Thank you very much, and then we can then proceed with the presentation.
Thank you, Chair, and once more, good morning, honourable members and colleagues. It is indeed a pleasure to present this report on behalf of the collective. In respect of your question, Chair, as you know, drought is a slow onset hazard which has various manifestations. Those manifestations being the agricultural effects, being the hydrological conditions, being also the socio-economic conditions, calls for an integrated approach and a multidisciplinary structure in its management. And therefore, in responding to your question, the team that I chair, which is the National Joint Drought Coordinating Committee, includes the following, and the list will not be exhaustive. We have key departments such as Department of Water and Sanitation, Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, Department of Environmental Affairs, Department of Rural Development and Land Reform. And because of the epidemiological effects of drought, we also have Department of Health. We also have Department of Science and Technology, the South African Weather Service. We will also have, obviously, NGOs and other civil society organizations on invitation basis. So it's quite a broad-based structure. And we invite also the provinces to be part of that so that they can provide reports. Internally also, within cooperative governance and traditional affairs, we have the municipal infrastructure support agent. We have the community works program. We have the B2B team, back to basics team. And of course, the communications, that is also supported by the GCIS. So it's quite a comprehensive structure. That then also informs how the leaders will decide on the constitution of the IMTT. So the input that I'll be making as per minister's outline will basically be representative of all those inputs. But of course, colleagues will have the opportunity to make further input. Based on the invitation received, Chair and Honourable Members, the issues that we'll be covering are nine and linked to the outline of the Minister. We will cover the risk profile and the outlook. It's important that we appreciate the drought risk as it prevails now and using also the weather information to be able to anticipate what are the likely scenarios going forward in order to inform proactive planning. The second one, the role of National Department of Cooperative Governance, so that the integrated approach which is required for the function can be clarified from the perspective of the internal COCTA arrangements. Three, the efficacy of the intergovernmental relations. Four, challenges and achievements. Five, funding dispersed. Six, solutions and recommendations on developing short, medium, and long-term strategies. Of course, also seven, communication plan and its rollout. Minister has already outlined that. Eight, key milestones of the IMTT as already presented by the minister, and of course, concluding with recommendations. Next slide. There was a map there basically showing how the standard precipitation index, which measures the amount of rainfall, how it is in terms of, yes, thank you very much. The slide basically shows that the standard precipitation index for the 12-month period indicates areas of mild to extreme drought categories for across South Africa. As a result of four consecutive seasons of low rainfall. And it says that extreme areas of drought are evident for Western Cape, Northern Cape, Eastern Cape, and northern portion of KZN. And you will have heard that Minister indicated that other provinces are also affected and have been those pockets of drought situation. The outlook in terms of the coming months, we'll see that, Honourable Members, that the map on top shows February, March, April, and then to the bottom one shows April, May, June, and the one on the right shows May, April, May. So the narrative around this outlook, which would help us to start planning proactively, is that a fairly strong signal of February, March, April, and March, April, May is that precipitation over the extreme northeastern parts may well be above normal. As you can see there from the above map, above left map, and further that the central interior of Northern Cape may experience higher than normal rainfall during February, March, April, and March, April, May. Unfortunately, the signal for Western Cape are neither strong nor consistent. From one overlapping 3 months period to the next, Consequently, honorable members, the seasonal precipitation outlook for the Cape Peninsula, which of course include the Greater Western Cape Province, remain largely uncertain. The second issue was the role of National Department of Cooperative Governance, as I've indicated. These are the measures that are in place through the National Disaster Management Center as per its mandate in line with the Disaster Management Act. We do the following. Once we learn of an occurrence or we anticipate an occurrence, we assess and classify the disaster as per the reports. Secondly, apply for funding to National Treasury in terms of the disaster grants that we administer. We also, to ensure impact in terms of the interventions, we oversee implementation of projects funded through the disaster grants by requesting reports, doing visits where possible. We also chair the National Joint Drought Coordinating Committee meeting. We report to the IMTT, report to the GCIS on implementation of drought communication strategy, and we also report to other fora, including, you know, at national, including regional level, as Minister has already indicated. Next, okay, yes. There's also other units within COPTA that you are aware of, such as the Department of Traditional Affairs, where we collaborate in terms of developing capacity for disaster risk management to the traditional leaders through the National Houses of Traditional Leaders. The Municipal Infrastructure Support Agency, which is also represented here by the acting CEO, also provides support in terms of infrastructure development and maintenance issues. The local government support and intervention in terms of the back to basics, and of course the very important issue of integrating disaster risk management issues in the development plans, the IDPs, and making sure that is part of the service delivery implementation plans, SDBIPs. Also from the institutional development section, in terms of municipal bylaws, strengthening governance, and local government capacity building interventions. The Community Works Program is also key to assisting us in community-based risk reduction measures like removing debris from the stormwater facilities and removing debushing and so on and so forth. In respect of the efficacy of intergovernmental relations in dealing with the current disaster situation, next slide. As it has been pointed out, these are structures that are in place and they are working to ensure that we have a seamless integrated system for managing the situation. The IMTT is in place to provide political leadership and guidance, and under that the technical structure is the National Joint Drought Coordinating Committee. Under that there's various structures such as a civil society coordination task team, the food and nutrition security task team, the communication task team, the national intervention task team, which we dispatch as and when there's supposed to be intervention on drought-related and disaster-related projects generally. There's, of course, also sectoral teams. At sector level, you go to agriculture, you go to water and sanitation, there will be teams that will be looking at various aspects that contribute to disaster risk reduction. Of note also is that these structures are also replicated at provincial levels with room for improvement, obviously, as some provinces are still in the process of putting them in place. The NJDCC, in terms of its objectives, as I've indicated, is basically to coordinate all the response and recovery plans from all relevant sectors. And to effectively gather all relevant information to ensure positive communication so that the narrative and the thought leadership that is provided is well grounded. We also facilitate and coordinate the development of an implementation of national integrated and inclusive drought response plan. There's a drought response plan that has been developed, which is guiding this national intervention in terms of dealing with the drought situation. To ensure well integrated and coordinated planning, to develop relevant frameworks as well as align and integrate already existing frameworks from organs of state. Next slide. I think this is just to share the principles that we apply to say we always want to get reports from sectors, and we are getting cooperation from sectors. Of course, there's room for improvement. And when we get those reports, we thoroughly analyze them to make sure that we derive important messages around how we can enhance measures and also how we report to the IMTT. But also the so what question in terms of how should this report and the content inform heightened measures. Hence we say we prioritize reinvigorating our programs as part of a learning organization that always strives to improve. And then of course once we have that message, we take to the IMTT for guidance. In respect of challenges, the following challenges have been, next slide, yes, identified. Is prioritization of unsustainable and costly temporary response measures as opposed to long-term measures. These are issues that we feel need to be attended to. You sometimes get water tendering coming at a high cost, and if those funds could also be considered for long-term measures. Distressed municipalities often suffer the most in the face of incidents because they've got no reserves to cater for emergencies. And you find that in most cases, the moment there's an incident, they think of declaring to get funds from national. While some that promotes resilience would always make sure that there's some funds available in the face of emergencies. Slide 16. There's also the issue of delayed implementation of funded drought-related projects. There's also lack of poor integration of disaster management planning in programs of organs of state and non-state entities. This calls for us as we plan projects to make sure that we check the risk aspects relating to those projects so that they don't fail at the later stage. The other issue is exorbitant costs for drilling and equipping of boreholes in certain areas, but this is being managed. Next slide. And in respect of these challenges, some interventions have been put in place. In respect of lack of capacity and financial resources for the disaster reduction function, we always advise the need to reconsider budgets to identify funding for reallocation in the event of emergencies, and also allocation of funds from the disaster grants, executive support mobilized to increase disaster management capacity. We are getting that support with room for improvement, obviously. The challenge of aging infrastructure in municipalities is one of the major ones, honorable members. And in that regard, municipalities are encouraged to intensify maintenance program, and MIG funding now provides for refurbishment and replacement of infrastructure. And MISA is also playing a critical role in this respect. The operations and maintenance in the municipalities, especially on water infrastructure, linked to the above one, municipalities to intensify maintenance programs. And as part of the back to basics, phase two of the back to basics program, the message is that maintenance of infrastructure should be given priority. There's also the issue of ineffective communication between sector departments and lack of awareness programs. On this, as it has been highlighted, the integrated communication strategy is in place, and this will help improve communication through a centralized strategy and conduct targeted education and awareness programs using a common narrative. Next one relates to poor provincial IGR and coordination structures. The convening of the provincial drought joint coordinating committees helps to improve coordination and support the structures at national level, such as the National Joint Drought Coordinating Committee, the National Disaster Management Advisory Forum, and of course the IMGT. The other issue is lack of integrated contingency plans and consideration of disaster risk profiles in municipal integrated development planning. Measures that are put in place is develop an integrated national contingency plan guide and continually integrate DRR into municipal IDPs. This is a matter that we are strongly advocating for, and we are getting support from our team in the department to have it happen in the municipalities. Of course, inclusion of ONF projects, we need to verify relief projects proposed to ensure its relevance and impact. Next slide. The impact of other hazards, such as alien influenza, severe weather, dilute resources available to drought, the need interventions is reconsider budgets to identify funding for reallocation, allocation of funds from the disaster ground, on water restrictions not enforced, which is still a challenge in some of the areas. There's a need for measures to heighten enforcement of water restrictions. And this is happening from the reports that we have. Loss of operational income, reconsider budgets to identify funding or for reallocation. The challenge with insufficient technical capacity still also prevails, and MISA to support municipalities with required expertise, focusing on infrastructure planning, operations and maintenance, capacity building through deployment of artisans. There's also, honorable members, a challenge in terms of slow or lack of organs of state and executive support. These are resolved in terms of continually convening these meetings to improve coordination. It's basically to say, in some areas, some organs of state do not come to the party, and in some cases you need to mobilize executive support, leadership support, to ensure that the message is understood and you are well supported in your interventions. So work has been done in that respect. Next slide. The funding dispersed during 2016, there was an approved amount for support in terms of the drought situation. Honorable members will remember that we once reported on the 212 million that was allocated to agriculture, 341 that was allocated to water, to the water sector. But notable is that initially the plan was that the funding could be assessed from the provincial disaster grant and the municipal disaster grant. However, it was found that the funds in the municipal and the provincial disaster grant were less than what was required, and therefore the money was accessed from the contingency reserve. And the projects were implemented over a period of 3 months. And the next slide just shows, and it has been presented for more than twice, as I can recall, what were those projects and that these projects were completed. Next slide. Also, this is from the agriculture perspective, where the funds were spent on what, and these projects were completed also. Next slide. The 2017-18 allocation, the Department of Cooperative Governance has facilitated immediate relief funding. And to that extent, the Western Cape, as Minister has indicated, was allocated 74.8 million in August. And of that amount, 40 million was allocated to the Department of Agriculture in the province for the provision and transportation of livestock feed. Next slide. The breakdown of the allocations, that the 74.8 million, you can see City of Cape Town 20.8, Bidoh 10.9, Deurwaterkloof 3.1, next slide, and of course agriculture in the province 40 million. Then that gives us that 74.8 million, honourable members. In this slide, it's for Eastern Cape to state that the Department of Water and Sanitation has allocated 200 million The purpose is to deal with water supply matters in Butterworth in the Eastern Cape province. This slide, honourable members, shows the funding requests that we are currently considering as per Minister's statement earlier. For Eastern Cape, you can see there about 7 billion required for Amatole, Nelson Mandela, Sarah Bartman. Northern Cape, 273 million required for Pixlika Seme, Namakwa, and for agriculture in Pixlika Seme and Namakwa. So for Northern Cape, it's in respect of agricultural drought and hydrological drought. Next slide. For Western Cape, additional funding that is required. City of Cape Town, 6.8 billion. Mazigama for water infrastructure, 2 million. And Drakenstein, 51.4 million. I must say, honorable members, however, that this request will be considered to check whether all these are disaster-related issues or some relate to service delivery backlog, which will have to be directed to the relevant sections for intervention. As I indicated, we'll normally refer some to water and sanitation, to MISA and MIG and so on and so forth. In respect of going forward, the national government funding on drought, the National Treasury will consider drought funding by ensuring that normal infrastructure projects are fast-tracked to respond to drought, and contingency reserve, provincial disaster grant, and municipal disaster grant should respond to that, to those needs. And the short and long-term measures in respect of the funding is that for 2018-19, which kicks in April 2018, about 501 million has been allocated in terms of the allocation letter received on the 29th of December for the emergency disaster grant. So the breakdown of the emergency disaster grant is as follows: 370.5 is for the municipal disaster, is the municipal disaster grant, and 130.3 is the provincial disaster grant. It should also be stated that various municipal infrastructure grants can be reprioritized for drought in terms of section 20.6 of the DORA. So there shouldn't be complete reliance of the on the emergency grant, because as you can see, it's limited considering the requests that we have received, but reprioritization should also should be the first point of call. Next slide. Solutions and recommendations, honorable members. The climate is changing, the population is increasing, and as a result, natural and anthropogenic hazards increase, calling therefore for the need to adopt integrated adaptation measures to save water, as we know the country to be one of the driest countries, and that drylands are said to be increasing in our country, in the region. So the measures that we would like we are pursuing is conservation of supply of water, especially in water factories. This will be done through control of invasive plants in mountains and riparian areas, wetland management, wildfire management, and soil management. As you know, our soils get degraded by a number of factors. When there's drought, wind storms leads to erosion. When there's heavy downpours, you have erosion and so on and so forth. The second issue is the issue to manage demand side management, where households, industry, agriculture will have to comply with tariffs, billing, and so on and so forth. Reduction of unaccounted for water, which will have to be dealt with in terms of the war on leaks, rapid response to leaks, reduce theft, and so on and so forth. For conservation and sustainable utilization of groundwater, next slide. Protection of water quality, very important, where catchments will have to be managed well, pollution management, artificial wetlands can be created, and so on and so forth. Reuse of wastewater, I'll just read the interventions because we are unpacking them in the NJDCC and will present concrete plans in the IMTT for further guidance. Load shedding in supply of water, the need to consider desilting dams as you also are prioritizing water provision, hence we say new dams are a low priority. You may have to consider desilting of some of the existing dams to deal with localized drought situation. Desalination should be a last resort, and then at the modest scale where planning and rainfall have failed. So these are some of the measures being implemented, and there will be chair outlined further in the presentation by colleagues that are still going to come. The issue of institution of water restrictions, particularly level 6B restriction in the city of Cape Town, and also DWS has also instituted new water restrictions at 45% urban and 60% on irrigation to all surface and groundwater in the Western Cape system. The removal of alien invasives, the procurement and transportation of fodder, aggressive awareness programs, rainwater harvesting, next slide, and drilling and refurbishing of boreholes. There's already engagements with MISA to provide support in these areas, as you can see, Northern Cape, Namakwa, and Pixligaseme, Eastern Cape, Sarabatman and Amatole, Free State Province, Mukaka and Litsemeng, KwaZulu-Natal, Newcastle and Ugu, Western Cape Province, Ghanaland, Prince Albert, Lengsberg, Beaufort West, Matsigama, you know, all those areas, including finally Limpopo Province, Mopane and Sekhukhune. So these are the current priority areas where MISA will be starting to do some work on drilling and equipping. Undertaking process audit on state of wastewater treatment works will also be done by MISA and the water treatment works, of course. And MISA is also engaging the East Rand Water Care Company, which is a government-owned entity, to conduct the process audit. And a detailed report is expected to be completed before end of June 2018. Next slide. And furthermore, from MISA also to respond to operations and maintenance challenges, MISA is in a process of recruiting qualified artisans and water process controllers to be placed in identified municipalities which made requests for same. 100 artisans and water and wastewater process controllers will be deployed to needy municipalities at the beginning of March 2018, honorable members. And in collaboration with the South African Institute of Civil Engineers, and in terms of the professional development and projects, there will be training of municipal officials on advanced water treatment processes. They are also putting in place a range of framework contracts for refurbishment of or building of new wastewater treatment plants and water treatment plants. This is aimed at easing procurement challenges in municipalities. It will therefore enable municipalities to simply place orders against the relevant national framework contract, which rates already will have been negotiated. These are some of the ongoing measures that, as Minister has indicated, our piece of legislation is one of the world-renowned pieces of legislation that places priority on risk reduction than to wait and respond to an incident as an emergency. So deal with prevention measures, mitigate, and prepare in the event that you are not able to prevent it. So to this effect, various sector legislation such as agriculture, water, environment, forestry, fire, promote adaptation to climate change in line with the climate change response white paper. And the measures being implemented include facilitation of auction sales, conservation of indigenous genetic materials, and subsistence farmers are also supported in respect of the Ghana for Zwelinghomo program, the promotion of the uptake of the drought-resistant maize seed. Next slide. to ensure adaptation by the farmers. There's also drought adaptation measures that are implemented. Oh yes, this is repeated. And all kinds of states are also working hand in glove with environmental affairs on long-term adaptation scenarios to ensure that various sectors are compliant. The issue of better field management is also very important to ensure that we comply with the Conservation of Agricultural Resources Act and are able to keep stock that will be sufficient for the grazing capacity of a particular farm. Next slide. Field management projects such as debushing, removal of alien, we have cited that. Also adherence to the national field and forest fires. I think of note here is the fact that it is important that for a particular biome which applies in a particular area, the farmer or farmers understand what are the fire management regimes that should be applied to ensure that there's better management of pasture. It is against this basis that the fire protection associations are in place to ensure preparation of fire breaks, you know, block burning and related measures for pasture management. The issue of implementation of crop suitability as one of the interventions to identify what crops will perform better in certain areas given the changing climate. This is one project that is being implemented by the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, where sustainable soya bean production is ongoing in Mpumalanga, Limpopo, Free State and Northwest provinces. There's also improved monitoring and new monitoring systems for resource status, quality and use through Department of Water and Sanitation. Towards conclusion of the solutions and recommendations, the National Joint Drought Coordinate Committee will continue coordinating integrated measures, will continue implementing or supporting War on Leaks campaign, and all sectors will mobilize their resources, and sectors will continue activating their climate change adaptation strategies and plans in different municipalities and provinces. Next slide. Communication is very important to ensuring the building of a risk reduction culture and, you know, the creation of force multipliers in terms of the risk reduction culture. The interventions in that regard are as follows. A comprehensive communication strategy has been developed. It has been reported by the Minister. A number of departments are currently implementing their own programs, which also resonates with the plan. Partnerships have been developed and others are continue to be harnessed for better sharing of messages, because it is important that the narrative is the same to make the necessary impact. Various communication platforms and channels have been activated to carry messages across. We can see the graphics of what is being used in respect of the communication. Next slide. And the activities around communication is around speeches, all speeches to have water-saving messages. In terms of statements, monthly statements, unless a need arises. So monthly statements will be made, the IMTT has indicated, the meetings will be on monthly basis and the public will be informed of the developments. And the key messages will be to be shared with the rest of government advocating for saving of water. And in terms of leaflets, posters, development and sharing of leaflets, posters and flyers, the Twitter platform also, Tweetborn, tweet adverts, Facebook, websites will also be used, Vukuzenzele, where we'll share messages through government platforms, and the key theme will be the need to save water. Next slide. International editors also, IMTT briefing to media on drought issues that will enhance better reporting so that the narrative outside the country is also the same. Or aligns with the narrative in the country. The issuing of media statements on an ongoing basis and placement of opinion pieces in terms of the monthly op-eds, media briefings we have already indicated, and we have been advised that The next media briefing by the IMTT will be on the 12th of February, but we'll get confirmation from the leadership. Paid platforms in terms of outdoor adverts and community radio, this is happening also, but it will obviously be enhanced. Next slide. Outreach and stakeholder engagements. IMTT outreach will be that there will be regular outreach programs, visiting affected areas, blitz with flash mobs, community engagements, and these are beginning in March 2018. And as you can see, Butterworth and Port Elizabeth identified taxi ranks on the Cape Flats. There will be information distribution in terms of those materials, industrial theater. Next slide. So as I indicated, this will be, these are graphics showing what kind of messages will be put, will be used. Next slide. And then towards concluding the milestones of the IMTT, as also reported by the minister, is that the IMTT has adopted an integrated communication strategy, is conducting regular briefings, oversight on implementation of the funded project, and also providing regular guidance to strengthen coordination. Vertically, meaning across all national sectors, and of course, horizontally across all national sectors and vertically with the provincial and municipal stakeholders. And regular reporting to Parliament as it is happening also today. And way forward from the IMTT is that a national disaster to be classified as it has been reported, and also a decision on the declaration has been reported, and the robust public awareness, and that the IMTT will meet on monthly basis. The very last slide is to request the Joint Portfolio Committee to note progress regarding interventions in dealing with the drought and water shortages across the country, and provide support and leadership to ensure heightened interventions. Thank you very much, Chair and Honourable Members and colleagues.
All right, now thank you very much for the presentation. I think the presentation sort of began to give some kind of a framework in which the department, together with the rest of other key stakeholders, are involved. But secondly, the point obvious that we'll want to make is that, hence this meeting, that you are unable for quite some time really to assert yourself. You have allowed the space to be contaminated politically by your failure to come on board immediately and really get into assisting municipalities at the local level. Because what you now hear and the confusion that we are now dealing with is that you find leaders pronouncing on the issues of water and taking decisions on issues of water which are not informed by the entire plan on disaster management and intervention. Therefore, I think the sooner you proceed with asserting yourself, especially the Department of Local Government and Traditional Affairs, working together with municipalities, because it's quite very, very urgent and critical. Now, as we're receiving the presentation, the local government, City of Cape Town, has arrived. We have them now with us. Kuga Local Municipality has arrived. Institute of Engineering in South Africa, they've arrived. Of Civil Engineering in South Africa, they've arrived. Who else that has arrived that we have not recognized yet?
Nelson Mandela.
Oh, yes. Eastern Cape, Nelson Mandela, the local municipality has arrived. Maybe what we'll do quickly just to confirm the leadership that is here, who is leading these two. I'm told that the mayor of Kuga is here, but I'll want you to introduce yourself quickly with your team. And then Eastern Cape, for the first time now, as we said that this matter, it's not only the Western Cape issue, it cut across, and I think that has been confirmed
through the presentation that what we're dealing with is bigger than what we thought. It's only one local area that we have a problem. So can we get those in what you call introduction quickly? Very, very quickly, ma'am. I'm giving you a second to introduce. Yes. That's correct.
Next to me is Charlie Christie, he's the municipal manager. And next to him is Victor Felton, who will speak on our presentation and our portfolio security on infrastructure in the summer.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Just can we be on record? Okay, it's fine. But when you present, you'll have to be on record so that you are properly recorded. But for now, for introduction, I think it's fine. We'll just record it here. You can proceed, sir. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. My understanding was that the invite has been extended to mayors. The invite has been extended to mayors. Maybe as you do that, you'll have given us an apology of your mayor, because we expected the mayor. This is Parliament, by the way, right? And Parliament issues out an invite. We need to be honored unless there's an apology that is put accordingly. So can we maybe get the whereabout of the mayor as invited? No, not yourself, the Eastern Cape, Nelson Mandela.
The mayor has apologized, but the written one should
bring it. Yeah, we will definitely need that written apology. And the city of Cape Town too, the invite has been extended to the mayor, and those who are here will then have to speak on the non-availability of the mayor of the city of Cape Town.
Good morning, Honourable Chair and members. Yes, I have an apology from the mayor, but the MACA member for the sector responsible for water was due to be here together with me, but she's unfortunately seriously ill, and that is Zamtia Limburg. But the deputy mayor is due to arrive shortly, so he will be coming in place of her. My name is Peter Flower. I'm the director of water and sanitation for the city.
Thank you very much. I think we'll get accordingly the apologies of the mayor. I'm not sure someone says the real mayor. No. I don't want to get into that political space, but can we then agree that we'll then get proper apologies for the meeting for those that are invited? If the deputy mayor comes, then it means that obviously it's mandated by the mayor. We'll have to do that. The reason that this invite has been done at this level, it was, you know, to have decision makers, because there's been so much of confusion outside there, and it's important to bring in leadership to be able to give direction and a clear way forward so that the public out there are not confused about what is happening. In that process, as we're doing the further introduction, the chair of the committee arrived. He's seated there at the back there, but for now I'm still chairing. I will allow him at some point to come and take over, but not now, because I'm still in charge for now. So, Chair, you are welcome, and then we'll then have a session where we'll break in between, and then he will then come and then take over. But let me just go back again to the program of what we expect moving forward, is that the Department of Water and Sanitation will then engage, because they have made a submission on their presentation. I'm told that Mr. Balza is here. He will then deal with that. Obviously, will be guided by the acting DG of the department. And then from there, we'll then get the City of Cape Town. They have made the submission of just received. I hope that it has been distributed accordingly. The Department of Cooperative and Government, the Department of Local Government, obviously, already, that's part of the presentation that we are receiving. Department of Agriculture, Fishery, and Forestry and Fishery, they are here, I'm told. They will be able to give us a presentation. And then as we go down further, we'll then have the Agri South Africa is here. They will give us a presentation. I see that the presentation from the South African Institute of Civil Engineering, they will give us a presentation. Now, the meeting is going to be a very, very long meeting. We expected to finish the meeting at 2 o'clock. But I think we're going to go beyond 2 o'clock, because even if we are made to spend the whole night here, what is required is that out of this meeting today, we must be able to speak in one voice. That's what is required. What is required is that there must be a solution to the problems that our communities are faced with out of this meeting today. So all of us must be clear. The presentation I've just revealed, it deals with models of funding, it deals with coordination, but it does not really pin down into issues of the Western Cape, which I think from the water as they make their presentation, we'll be able to pick up that. Further to that, we have not yet got into two identified provinces currently before us. Is that the Eastern Cape, is the Western Cape currently. I think the issues of the Northern Cape and the rest will come as we move forward. And the Minister, I think, has made it very clear that what we're dealing with is not only the issue of the Western Cape, but moving forward. Now, as we move forward, members, will we want us to begin to interrogate the presentation, or we allow and note the issues and then go to the second presentation, which will be from the city of Cape Town? Is it what we want to do? Because this was dealing with the framework, the legal framework with regards to issues of declaring disaster, funds that are available, and what is expected of each sphere with regard to coordination of disaster. So can we then get a clarity? Do you want us to engage on questions now? You can press the mic. I see the hand there. But Masondo, you'll come in after. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Acting Chair. Can I make a proposal that we ask questions to this presentation now? Because it is supposed to be a consolidation of departments' efforts. Because if we get too many presentations, the questions is going to become long and get mixed up. If we can do a session of questions now, and then we can cover all the others together and cluster them. But I think the importance is from the department, so that we can finalize them and then move on. And maybe after the presentations, then from the different entities, we might want to get clarity again. I think it's important that we get first question to the department.
Then we will handle Bob Mason. Bob Mason will then come in after when Bob Mason. We'll see. Funu Fokisana Mubuti Sien Zandoni, after we have received the report, let us see here. Sifunu Guz Mbuz or Manji, or Sifuna Uti Siege, Sitole Amani, Ama report, then ziyasiqhubekele phambili ngemibuzo ma report wonke abekiwe angithi bawubhazone injalo.
Chairperson, can I ask that the Western Cape government do their presentation before City of Cape Town?
I've mentioned that one. But Masondo, you can. Okay, I'll come back to you after, but Masondo.
No, thank you very much, Chairperson. I want to suggest that we really do try and avoid repeating ourselves and having an unnecessarily long meeting that may go into the night or the evening. Let's try and avoid that. So in this regard, I therefore propose that we really follow the proposal that has been made already. Follow the proposal that has already been made, that we should cluster the presentation. So we start with the one that we've heard right now. And I suggest that that whatever clustering we do should not exceed three. Otherwise, it will not work out.
At the hand of the MEC, Godel, I've noted the minister. Now the proposal is that from members is that we must cluster presentations, and I was sort of beginning to look at how we can cluster them quickly. And I was made, I think clarity was put by Honorable Basson that maybe what we should do in that regard is to give the province before the local municipality come in. Then you then have your national, then it's province, then you have your local. And then the rest will then follow in that sequence we can then allocate them properly. Let me give MEC, you can come in, and then followed by the minister. You're covered. Minister, you can come in. No, minister first. Before the minister comes in. Okay, let me give you a signature.
I think the proposal, I'm not sure what Honorable Masondo was seconding, but the proposal was that we engage on this particular one, because it's a joint, and then after that, we then cluster the others.
Not more than three clusters,
but we first engage on this one that was presented.
Okay, that's fine then, that's fine. What we'll then do, it means that we'll then have the province and the local after the engagement on the first presentation. Okay, that's fine. We'll come back. Minister Jasmine Boyce.
Thank you very much, Chair. As earlier indicated, the report presented is a product of inter-ministerial task team meeting, which is, of course, comprised of the department cited earlier. Now, the report presented starts from the Weather Services report on the status of drought, and it ends with the GCIS report on communication plan. So that simply suggests that all the departments participating in the interministerial task team versions are included in that report. So the technical committee is here, to give further elucidation where there are questions on technical issues. So it simply suggests that there's no need for us to separate sector departments because they participate in that particular team. So we will fully support the motion of entertaining this report, and then from the clustering other reports, the way you will determine. Thank you.
That's fine, because we have a more detailed report again from water and sanitation that is presented before the committee. Now, the point that I'm trying to make, and which I was making obvious, is that the presentation as presented now before us, it does not go into the details, in particular of, and I've said that, the two areas that we have sort of taken an interest on, which is your Western Cape and the Eastern Cape. But it does deal with the entire framework of coordination. It does. Now, for you to get into the detail that members are going to engage on, and this detail is carried in the presentation by the Department of Water and Sanitation, which sort of reinforces this presentation that is before us. What you may want to do is that when questions are asked there, the Department of Water and Sanitation must then be able to expand more on the information that is before us, rather than making a presentation. Because that will be very critical for us, so that when we leave here, all of us are at one, with one understanding. There's intervention, there's going to be water in the Western Cape, in the Eastern Cape there's going to be water, and then as we have now expanded, that the issue is the national crisis, but for now, in the purpose of those that we have invited here, you want to make sure that when the city of Cape Town leaves here, it understands fully the role, the inputs that are made by the National Disaster Management, and we expect them going back to have one common understanding, not confusion anymore. Because there's been too much confusion that this portfolio committee is sort of beginning to scale it down and put barely to the responsibility of a department that is responsible for drought. Okay, that's the point that we're making. Now let us therefore, members, let us therefore allow members to then ask questions of clarities and comment into that presentation that has been made before us. Once we are done with that, we'll then move into other presentations that want to hear them. We want to hear each and every role player speaking. Because yesterday, again, Minister Van Rooyen, we saw it on the news again, that there's this gesture from the farmers that they've released water. They've now released water gas chaff from farmers. The point obvious that we'll have to deal with as we move forward, Minister. Who owns the water? Who owns water? That question will have to be answered at some point. Who is allowed to keep water for storage? Kiloliters and kiloliters of water is kept somewhere. It came out last night as a gas chain. People were celebrating to see this water flowing into the river, that it will arrive in Cape Town over the weekend. Now, the Department of Water, the information that we have, I'm not being biased because I serve in the Portfolio Committee of Water, we're informed that there are 4,000 dams in this country. 4,000 dams, water, reserved. Only 340 or 350 are under the control of the Department of Water and Sanitation. Out of 4,000 dams in the country. There's something wrong here. We're informed that the 78% of the water that is under the control of the department goes to agriculture. That's what information we are given. Only 23% goes to domestic, and only 3% goes to industry, which is mining and others. Skewed distribution again, when others have water. And we want to know who is this one that has so much water, the remaining more than 3,300 dams. Who are in control of those dams? Because we have drought here, but are those who can, you know, gas chart, you can give them now, they don't have water. It's something, it's political, we have to resolve this thing. We have to be resolved. Because it cannot be that when so many of our people, you see them with containers every day, wheelbarrows, for the first time we are in the Western Cape, in suburbs now, you can see wheelbarrows and containers, you know, moving up and down. There's been a practice in the villages where we used to, because we did, majority of the people that live in the villages were denied water since time immemorial. Now that these kiloliters and kiloliters of water in private hands, we have to deal with it, Fighter. We must find a way. We must bring that water back to the Department of Water and Sanitation if they're in control. But we'll deal with that. It's politics that ourselves will engage on, because we may be dealing with issues but missing the point. That in fact we are not in control of water. So we'll deal with that. There's a politics that I want us to engage on. After everybody's gone, we can moor each other in the meeting there, but we'll have to find a solution as to how do we get that water back to the mainstream, that we must be in control and make sure that our people benefit from that water. So let's get, I'm just throwing it so that you must know that's where we are going. We may not go today here, but it's a point that I'm flagging that we'll have to look at. So let's get into questions and clarities on the presentation that we have just received. No. It's questions now.
Yeah,
it's not comments, questions. Yeah. So what we're going to do, we're going to start from my far, when I'm sitting like this, my far right. We'll start with Mam Kaula, Mam Maseko, Mam Bilankulu, and then we'll then take it from Mam Bilankulu, we'll come straight, and then come to your Fighter there, and then the last person will be my brother, the back there.
I just have a question quickly. I don't know if I heard correctly. Did you say we're going to get to moor each other?
No. Not mooring in that way. Meaning that we'll engage.
Okay.
You don't be too much sensitive too, man. That's the problem of wanting to miss the point. Don't be too much sensitive. If we're to moor you, it's not going to be a nice thing. We don't want to moor you. Thank you very much, colleagues. Let us therefore proceed with S.I.V. Bamkaula, you are the first one to be on the floor, man.
Gibonga Slalo. Ngibonge le presentation I chem imnandi yona angizwile uyayihumusha and uyishaya wena mawuhlezi la uze ucacele ukuthi hayi izinto zikhona ngikushisho lokho yini sihlalo nami uyazi njobe ekhuluma nje umhlonishwa lapha lono owenza presentation ukhuluma ngendaba zezimali ezikhona eziqondene na nezomiso kanjalo nalento kuthiwa ibizwa ukuthi disaster ile mesikhathi ezinzima kuye kufike khona imvula ikhukhula inhlekelele kodwa okubhlungu okungiphatha kambi sihlalo ifuma ngabe siphuma la sibi oversight asiyiboni zonke lezi zinto sihlalo zenzeka abakhuluma ngazo la kimina kufana nokuthi abasithathe thini notice njenge members of parliament lento ifana kumina njengeculo abazokucula elilodwa okunye lana sihlalo engizocela ukukusho ngizokuthatha ngesiqaphuqaphu ngoba ngenzela ukuthi la khona osazokhuluma ubhaliwe phansi ngizobuyela kulasa sibuhambile zonke lezi ndawo senza ama-oversight ma uthi uyafika khona kunoma ube ujabule akukho nogodo okuficayo ukuthi uhamba kahle ngabe se-Western Cape, I mean Eastern Cape, kuyakhalwa alukho into ebambekayo khona. Manje njengoba ngikhuluma nawe, siphuma eMpumalanga. Instead uthi sijabule eMpumalanga, sibe nenkinga yosizi lodwa. Khumbula ubaba lapha masikhuluma ngithi bahlanganisa nendaba yamanzi, baze bahlanganise nendaba zamaplazi, uba abalimi. Kuye lapha ngithi sembombela la iduze ka deputy minister president uDidi Mabuza masifika lapha yasithola ubaba Maseko ubaba Maseko lapho sena 8 years ngizocela impendulo nje ekulela plaza lela plaza ngesikhathi elithengelwa uhulumeni walithenga kwabamhlophe linamanzi linayo yonke into kodwa yena una 8 years akaxhaswa akanawo amanzi kuthi nalamanzi lawa ekade khona umsele ngesizulu esithi inkasa adivethwa lawo manzi abuyiselwa kwabamhlophe umbuzo wami uthi kuzosiza ngani lana Jefferson ukuthi sihlale la silo sikhuluma ngezinto ngoba kokuqala into abaganga ngathi lapha ngesikhathi siya kulento ekuthiwa ama-oversight akukho la sihamba nabo khona bethi bukani nakho sikwenzile nakho omasipala naziimeya igcina seyinenkinga ngoba okunye uthole ukuthi bakwenze bona bajombe omasipala njengalapha e-Standerton othole khona ukuthi kunemali eyiphumile phezulu kodwa abazi lutho iimeya ezinye izinto efuna basitshele ukuthi kambe lo muntu obizwa ngokuthi i-official unakho as a national ukuthi athi ma ngabe isintuthuko phansi ajombe laba bantu abaseduze komphakathi abazoshaya umphakathi okokugcina ngci ngibonga ngoba nangu nosihlalo kakhokta bengigcine ephumile bengisazezwa mhlasela ukuthi uphuma kanjani
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning to all the honourable members and our guests. Chair, I'm fully aware that there are funds that are solely allocated for natural occurrences like your natural disasters and drought. However, Chairperson, it's disturbing when we come here to when we come over here and people have to report, but there is nothing to show that is tangible. I just wish to know, Chairperson, that why aren't we having someone who is going to see to it that these funds are utilized for the purpose that is set for? Chairperson, it is also easy to talk, and I would wish one day that officials would explain to us that why are we having boreholes yet there is no water. I would also suggest that Chairperson, at some point when we go on oversight, we go with our officials so that they explain to us that why are we having these boreholes but there is no water or boreholes are dysfunctional. Chairperson, we visited Mpumalanga, not far from the place of the previous Premier, Honorable Didi Mabuza, where we witnessed very disheartening situations. There was one farmer, a black farmer, Mr. Masego, who was returned or who was given land. However, Chairperson, the land that he was given had no water, no electricity. So, Chairperson, I would like us to really look at that and see if there is any situation that can be or something that can be done to deal with such situations that we witnessed when we were on oversight. Thank you, Chair.
Yonana, thank you very much. We'll get to Mamu Bilankulu. Can I just clarify you that
Pakutidi Mabuza is still the premier, he's not previous premier. He's still the premier, for record sake, because we're in parliament now, we may not distort an arrangement that is not there. He's the deputy president of the ANC, he's the premier of the Mpumalanga province, okay? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. My first question is goes like this. What are the strategies or the monitoring tool that you are going to put in place as far as drilling and refurbishment of boreholes are concerned? Since in some other areas, as the portfolio committee, we do have an experience of the intervention that has been done, putting boreholes, but at the end of the day, communities are failing to get water. So what are the strategies now that we're going to put in place to make sure that the affected areas or the affected communities end up receiving water? Second one is the issue of escalating of prices. How are you going to deal with that? Because the experience, again, as the portfolio committee, we have realized that the issue of boreholes, people end up escalating prices for the things that is not going to benefit the communities at the end of the day. Thirdly is the issue of unskilled officials. I've seen in the report to say that end of March, you'll make sure that people has been trained. How sure are you? Lastly, Chair, when it comes to drought intervention, we have seen mostly the national department going to implement the project in the local areas, but without engaging the municipalities. But at the end of the day, they want to see municipalities monitoring and also accounting for those projects. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation. I think my first was, it's exactly what you covered, Chair, on the issue of the gesture that was shown yesterday, donation of water, opening of the, some gates, and also when you fly over to Cape Town, you see this, it's green, you know, and it's supposed to be no water, but it's very green, so it tells you that there's some water somewhere privately owned. And I think that if that is the case, as you correctly said, that there are about 4,000 dams and 350 under the control of the department. So I think through yourself and the chairperson that there need then to be some legislation to ensure that water is a commodity that is controlled by the department, not by private owners or private farmers. We're sitting with a disaster and we are at the mercy of some people who now have water, who can, as and when they want, they will open the gates and then the water will flow. Secondly, Chair, it's the I don't know if the committee that is dealt with, I know there's the interministerial, I'm not sure if the officials are sitting in that. But I also want to find out at what level are those officials that are sitting in these joint meetings? Because if it is very low level, they don't have influence. Well, it must be some from DG or DDG that sits in those, so that there's constant intervention. And just to say also, Chair, we are facing a disaster. Not only in the Western Cape, but it's worse in the Western Cape. And we shouldn't be operating in silos here. It is time where departments need to come together. We have the same goal. We need to ensure that the people do get water, or we come with solutions. So different heads must come together to come with the solution that you said we will be dealing with until late today, that you come out here.
But the issue also of the rain harvesting and rain retention and capturing, I think it's something that needs to be fully followed and be done properly. You know, as science and technology, we had an exhibition, and one of the guys who was exhibiting what he was funded by the Technology Innovation Agency, TIA. And he doesn't know where else to go because TIA has ticked their box. They funded him. He has come up with this, what he thinks is a solution, where there's a tank that is there to capture the water from the gutters. It goes through the pipes. But that water will then go into the toilet system and to flush instead of just being wasted water. So he's there. He was showing us the science and technology. Yes, part of what oversighting was, where did this money go to? It went to this particular person. This person came up with a solution. It is also my worry, Chair, that there is not much that I hear of science like the CSIR to come in to intervene as to finding solutions, because those are the people that can bring us solutions on their research. They are done. They are doing big things even abroad, but we're not utilizing them here. Thanks, Chair. I did have others, but it's fine.
That's from the Portfolio Committee of Science and Technology, from Maseko Serve. And I think Water Research Commission is here. You have noted the question, and I think you may want to respond, must respond to that question. Yes, followed by, for record again, just put the name.
Thank you very much, Chair. Andrew Modello is the name. Chair, there's three questions. Thank you very much for the presentation, Chair. The one question in terms of the departmental participation in this National Joint Disaster Coordinating Committee, I did not hear the Department, Honourable Minister of Social Development. And the reason I'm raising this is because social development is the custodian in many respects of the interests and welfare of people with disabilities, the aged, and children, the vulnerable section of our community, Chair. And when it comes to disaster, when it comes to war, those sectors are normally the sectors that have been overlooked, Chair, and I'm just not quite sure whether in this particular instance it may be the case, because one can imagine, Chair, we have heard about water collection points, Honourable Bridell, that will be erected in Cape Town. We have seen the nightmarish situations of thousands of people queuing for water, and clearly anyone with a disability, anyone who is infirm, who is aged, who is an aged person, will not stand a chance in getting water, not even carrying the 25-liter container. So those are questions, Chair, that I'm afraid are getting lost in this discussion, in this presentation. Chair, if it's there, then please let us know, because it's important that we need to know. They say if they can't see you, then you are invisible. You are not catered for, Chair. That's the one question. The other one, Chair, indeed, one has seen the release of, what is the Pitt River dam water, 10 billion liters of water to Cape Town, Chair. The question that one have to ask yourself is, Tierwaters Kloof is one area that I have been identified as have been somewhat affected by the drought. One looked at the report that has been presented, the municipalities of the Western Cape that has been identified on that side is Naishna, Essaouira, and Tierwaters Kloof. I'm talking about the Overberg and the Southern Cape. Now, it the question that one's back is that if there is a challenge of water in Tierwaters Kloof, where the Tierwaters Kloof Dam, the biggest dam in the province, contains less than 12.5% water, and here on the doorstep in Grabo, we have a dam that is extremely full, are able to to donate so much water to City of Cape Town, and I'm not having a problem with that, because ultimately even myself as a person, my family will benefit because I'm residing in the City of Cape Town. But it is just a contradiction. One would have expected that that particular dam would be first and foremost provide for the community that it's supposed to serve. But in indeed, of course, the other question I'm not going to ask it in relation to the question of ownership of water. But one would expect, Mr. Buthelezi, that the Overberg Water Board must somehow play a role there. You know, even if it's water or a dam that currently is in private hands, because water is a national asset, Chair. The third question, Chair, is that one reads a very interesting blog this morning, in particular myself, posted by someone with the name of Sandra Dixon, who raised a fundamental question. She's saying, especially in the context of water being made available from the Overberg, but in relation to the Tierwater School Dam, the biggest one, she's saying that agriculture is now in a position, and we welcome that, Agri SA as a representative of the agriculture sector, making that amounts of water available. The question is, why, Mr. Tao, and this is specifically for you, and unfortunately, Honorable Minister of Water and Sanitation is not here, that the minister have issued that there should be instruction for the reduction in water. We have seen, according to this article, the agricultural sector was supposed to have reduced their water uses, hasn't done that until 10 days ago, you know, whereas the citizens in the all over that are affected by drought were forced to go with less water. According to this particular article, that has not been the case, Chair. And the question is why, and why was no measures taken, steps taken, to convince them to reduce it? Thank you, Chair.
You have made a point. I think you have made three critical points. Some of the points that the server is here from the department left response to that, but the point you are making is on the social development and food strategy. That's a very, very important point. We have to, from the disaster management point of view, we have to speak to that issue and then find it to the land of the power and the resource. Manan?
Thanks, Chair. Chairperson, the quota is talking about the infrastructure development and the maintenance, that these three provinces, it must be given a priority. Since we are facing this drought, how are we going to make sure that these other provinces that are not yet declared as disaster province are not experiencing the very same drought like the three provinces, especially the Western Cape? And number two, do you have any plan to penalize those municipalities who are utilizing the MIG in a correct way who are utilizing their MIG not in a correct way for the refurbishment and replacement of infrastructure, because we want to see those municipalities to save water. And on the current funding requested for drought intervention measures, how much is the grant total of the additional funding requested for the Western Cape drought intervention measures for the water infrastructure for the City of Cape Town, including the Matsikana and Drakenstein? Thank you.
No, I'm doing something like that.
You have said about the 4,000 dams that are there. How much do they hold? It can be a small dam. 4,000 dams together might be one big dam. So you must have do the research before we say something like that. We must know how much water there is. I would like to know for myself. So it's a comment more than anything else, and I and commented on what you said about the 4,000 dams. Then I just wanted to also ask, you know, if I understand why somebody does not want to declare a disaster, because it will give them a lot more work. But I want to impress on you, the presentation today has said that this situation is not going to clear up very soon. So, Minister, I think the outlook says it needs intervention and it needs it now. We can't wait until these doom days arrive and then the mortality goes up and we say, well, you know, we should have done something earlier, we didn't, but sorry to South Africa. So something needed to be done now. So I'm asking for your patience on that, and please, Minister, do something about it.
All right, now that's fine. That's the point I made. The point we are making, there are 4,000 dams. The meaning of this meaning is there are 4,000 dams that are under private control. The state only controls 300. It's not a question of how big, not research, it's information that is before us, right? It's an issue that will require us as politicians here to resolve. We can't just leave it there and say, meaning there, and therefore it's okay, thank you very much. We're going to get into that space. That's transformation again. Okay. You are welcome, colleague, too.
Thank you, Chairperson.
You are coming, but I noticed you after him, you're going to come. That is then day to I'm telling this meeting now, just bear with me, just relax, you're going to be doing it. This is like going to be the last person to speak, and we are going to have this opportunity to take everything must be by the relevant information that we are using.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I want to start off with this issue of the 4,000 dams and private dams and all of that. I agree with you. I think we need to discuss water in South Africa. Who owns it, who it belongs to, what it's been used for, and all of that. I totally agree with that. But I also think we need to, as a portfolio, send out a message and thank the farmers who gave that water. They don't know if it's going to rain and if their crops will die later in the year. It cost, if I can remember, somewhere around 80,000 to 100,000 rand to plant a hectare of trees that bear fruit in South Africa. So if you donate that water then because there's another crisis, I think as this portfolio we need to thank those farmers who did that. It doesn't matter now to discuss who the water belonged to and where. And I'm happy that they did that because I always say to farmers, you cannot sit with water while communities are dying. It is our right, or not our right, it's a responsibility to do that. And I really think we need to thank them for that. Chair, on that, I'm very happy to hear that a national disaster is now going to be declared. I've been asking for this, and both those ministers will know, for the last 2 years. The first time I asked for it was on the 14th of February 2016. It was just before the elections. I was told I'm trying to be electioneering. At that time, Chair, I remember clearly, we were told that around 30 million South Africans were not having water in South Africa. If you saw that map with the reds that was put on earlier, the reds was almost three-quarters of the country at that stage. I was told we cannot declare a national disaster, and I was having a long, but let's not go there. We passed that point. I think we passed the point of declaring a national disaster long ago. My question to the ministers, and I will ask the question to Minister Des van Rooyen, as his department is responsible for disasters. I will still say the department is a disaster itself, because that disaster management center has not given us anything today that we did not know last year. What has happened since the last meeting we had in this the Parliament last year, where we asked the department to go and compile something, to be told it's not going to rain, it's this, it's that, it's nothing new. We know that. Still, without the Western Cape, the Eastern Cape, the Northern Cape. Communities in the Free State, in Northwest and KwaZulu-Natal are sitting without a single drinking drop of drinking water today. Some of them 3 years, Chair. Some of them for 3 years. What are we doing about that? Nothing. Now suddenly we wake up and want to declare a national disaster. It's been a national disaster for almost 3 years already. Chairperson, I just want to find out. I'm very happy to hear two meetings took place from this interministerial vanishing team. How many meetings was held during 2017 to plan for this now, while this drought was building up? And what? How many statements came out? I can tell you exactly how many and what was said, because nothing really came out. What planning came from this team that is supposed to be dealing with disasters in South Africa in the last 2 years? I'm also receiving a report here that 200 million rand was made available for Butterworth, apparently in October. I was just in contact with the community of Butterworth. Not a cent has been spent there that they are aware of. So I need exactly what was spent on the Butterworth situation. I also want to find out in the presentation, and it was on slide 21, on the allocation during the 2016 period, funding was supposed to be made available from the disaster grant fund. However, the available funding was not enough. They only had 111 million, according to the report. In the same year, the Department of Local Government, under the disaster fund, did not spend 300 million rand. That was 2016. Why not? And last time we asked this question, I was told, because no one asked for the money. At the same time, 30 million South Africans were either without water or almost had no water. I know, because I live in the Eastern Cape. People walked for 20 kilometers to dig holes in streams to try and find water, and then we'd send back 300 million rand. Chairperson, I really think it's time that we put some fire to this Department of Disaster. Because what are they doing?
When I made, I think you've made a valuable point. I think the issue that comes out again is the capacity of the municipality to spend. It goes with that question that you raised of, you know, they've been allocated 40 million, only 25% has been spent. Therefore, it comes back to the capacity of both the capacity national and the capacity at local government level. You know, you find that the city of Cape Town isn't given money. They can't spend it because they don't have capacity. We may want to get the detail with regard to that, the respond obvious. What is it that we expect? In fact, you know, and I think it that Western Cape is one of the provinces that there's so much benefit to our engineers, to technicians, to our town planners, to what, because everybody is here. Now, if those people cannot spend, and we keep on saying it to another person that, you know, Western Cape obvious has more capacity than anywhere in the province. In the country, and that capacity I think is no longer there anymore. Something has gone wrong. Honourable person, you can come in, and then we'll turn, followed by your brother, and then we'll go to my brother there, the big fighter, and then we'll go to the next day point. That's my comrade. We'll come a long way with you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, this presentation today does not differ anything of the one we got on the 25th of October last year. But Chairperson, forever we are talking and planning and making presentations to this portfolio committee or a joint portfolio committee in Parliament, but there's no action. We don't see any changes, visible changes on the ground. And there's fightings between the Department of Water and Sanitation and the Western Cape Government and City of Cape Town. Who's responsible for doing what? A Chairperson, it has been mentioned. It's the sole responsibility of the Department and the Minister of Water and Sanitation to deliver bulk water. Now, I'm not going to speak further on that. The Minister knows what is her responsibility. And the Minister, as I said just now, Minister, you are not assisting South Africa by not making decisive changes in what's going on. We need to see action on the ground. Chairperson, I would like then to ask the Minister of COCTA. In this presentation, there are figures on page 11. Now, I also welcome the disaster, most probably be a national disaster on the 15th. And I hope we can keep you to that, Minister, that by the 15th this will be a national disaster. But Minister, my question to you is, what mechanisms will you put in place to make sure that the drought funds made available under the national disaster will be spent sufficiently? Now, Chairperson, 341 million was given for the water sector in 2016. What did they do with that money? Built a desalination plant for 290 million in Richards Bay that locally it could have been built for 160 million. And Minister, I have said that to you previously. We took the same specs of that plant that you have put up in Richards Bay and gave it to two different companies to give a quotation on it. Installed in Richards Bay, 160 million. Now, Minister, we also know you wanted to put one up here in Cape Town for 500 million rand. You've made available 400. So you must tell us what would have that plant would have cost. Because in the market currently, and specific in Cape Town, there are a few companies that manufacture these, exporting them to the whole world, not importing them from China. So we want to know what measures will you put in place to make sure that we get value for our money, and when will that happen? After the 15th of February, when will the money be available? We can no longer in the Western Cape and the Eastern Cape live, and Northern Cape, live on promises and keep on talking, planning, and there's no action on the ground. So I want a commitment from you that you will make sure that this money gets spent on the ground a week later than December. I hope it's not December this year, but February, the 15th of February, so that we can do planning. We all, I believe, that sits here don't want to get to day zero in any one of these three provinces that is on the list.
Thank you very much, Honorable Boson. The point obvious is that we want the commitment. We, yes. That's the committee, not I. We're not like I between you and the minister now. No. So we want the commitment, and the point is made obvious around that particular area. I'm going to close with the chair at the back there, so you can follow a honorable member and just do a formal introduction again, because most members don't know each other, and then we'll follow by my other colleague before that the fighter comes in, and then the chairperson will sort of give an overall again, but with the question that you put there of the current engagement that we're facing. You can tell me.
Thank you very much, chairperson. I am with X from COCTA Portfolio Committee. Honorable chair, thank you that we have gathered today to try and pave the way forward on the matter. And I think that we should, from the reports, you know, find ways also of dealing with other provinces that are not currently affected. It's fine that we are dealing with this one now. It's two provinces and seven provinces. We know that it is going to happen sometime in the years to come. So the report must also deal with other provinces where there is no problem currently. And I think, Chair, we have taken too long to deal with the matter of, you know, Western Cape and the Eastern Cape. And I'm appealing that, you know, whether it's correct to say it's cheap politicking and political arrogance, it must actually come to an end on matters that has a potential of taking human lives. Collectively, Honorable Chairperson, I think you are correct when you say, as politicians or policymakers, we must at one day revisit the issue of ownership of water. It has a potential of dividing our nation. I also think, Chair, that monthly meetings as part of a monitoring tool for the intervention program is a long time, because I think we live in a crisis era. And I was going to check from the technocrats and the House if 3 weeks would be a short time to actually, you know, convert from being monthly meetings into 3 weeks. Every 3 weeks you hold such meetings as it was reported. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I think the point is made. And it comes back to the issue of who owns water. But let's appreciate the fact that the farmers have now released water. I think the impression must not be given that we're not happy. The point we're making is that who controls this water, right? And we want to say again that those that have water now at their disposal, they must release that water if they're not using the water. They must release it. That's the call that we're making as this committee here. But the point we must never run away from is that, Minister, we have to address the issue of ownership of water in this country. Because I'll tell you that many, many years ago, 1652, when the Dutch East Indian Company was sent here to the Cape, their task was nothing else but water. If you remember that history of the arrival of Johnson to the Cape. And from that time to date, who is in control of water? If you talk land, you separate water. You cannot talk land back to the people when you address issues of water. You can't talk water without land issues. So these are issues that this committee of parliament must begin to engage on and find a solution for the benefit of all South Africans. Right? Now, you can come in, my brother.
Yes, that's you.
The other people are going to close. I was giving you a thought to be the last, but you can not. Okay, we're going to get up with the iPhone. We can come in.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chairperson. I'm Sibusiso Mncwabe from agriculture. Well, Chairperson, I don't have a question. My questions have been asked, but it was a comment that we have just summarized. But firstly, let me start with what the Honourable Doctor have said next to me. The issue of early warning systems. Because if the warnings were given some years ago, the question would be, what was done? Whether by the province or by the government. Because if you put in place early warning systems, you are saying, advise me before the disaster happens. And if that was done, then the question would be, why do we find ourselves in this dilemma when we have to work on a rushing spirit? Maybe that one would have to be clarified. But lastly, Chairperson, is what you have just commented on, and my colleagues as well, the issue of private ownership. I was shocked, Chair, yesterday when I heard this thing on the news that some people have donated water from their dams. How do you donate natural resources in the first place? Because all we should be benefiting from the natural resources. Well, I will challenge the minister or the two ministers because they are fresh from their conference. One of the resolutions that they've taken is emphasized on expropriation of land. But I would say to them, start with the land where those dams are. Because it cannot be correct, Chairperson, that in this situation will now be in the hands of someone. If he wants to donate water, he will do that. If he doesn't, he doesn't want. Well, we can say we appreciate what they've done, but I do not think that is a correct thing, that in such kind of a situation, you'll have people to decide whether do they give you the natural resource or not. I mean, seemingly even God is not in charge of water now. If there are people who are in charge, who decides when and how to release. I'm saying maybe we should visit the Minister of Water and Sanitation or have a meeting with those people to look at the matter. But at the end of the day, we'll have to take those dams back to the state.
Have to come back and really get deeper into this issue. You are on the floor now.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to the ministers for attending. It's just a pity the mayor of Cape Town and Nelson Mandela Bay didn't honor the invitation. It's really disappointing. Chairperson, I've Northwest, right there on the border of Botswana, has been experiencing since 2013 its worst drought in 80 years. So I'm somewhat amused when drought hits Cape Town that it becomes a real issue and people start jumping up and down for solutions. So I want to know from both ministers what their departments have done in addressing that drought in the Northwest, where up until 2016, when I was deployed by my organization, people were walking for miles to collect water from a communal well point in the middle of the night. Children. 24 years, 23 years into democracy. So, I'm asking, what has been done and what lessons have been learned that could be applied here now, if any, I doubt. Okay. It seems, you know, Chairperson, this weather is like the ANC. They will never self-correct. We must find alternatives.
Now you're now. So don't provoke the ANC. The ANC has never said anything yet. We are
all. No, they must be quiet.
Member, please don't get to that level. Proceed. I'm giving you this platform,
yeah,
and we are making valuable points.
Thank you very
points.
Much, Chairperson.
You're making valuable points.
Thank you very much.
But don't spoil us your points by bringing in.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. You know, Otsumato went to England in the 1600s, early 1600s, 50 years before Jan van Niekerk came here. He went to England because this was always a stopover. They call this place, the Khoisan, the Khamisa. The Khamisa meaning sweet waters. Around Cape Town, there are 80 natural springs. 80. The water from those natural springs are flowing into the ocean. It's only the Premier of the Western Cape that has now got a system in place to source water there. She's really lucky. 92,000 rand it cost taxpayers. Yeah, water purification. So, I want to know from the Minister, Water Sanitation, whether there are any plans where they are involved to reticulate that water from those natural sources to a common supply for all of Cape Town, because right now people are going to stand in queues to collect water, Newland, St. James, Oudekraal, because it's natural, it just flows. It has to go somewhere. Most of it flows into the sea. So are the plans afoot to use those water sources, tap into those water sources and make it available easily for everyone via our normal water supply system, and preventing that chaos that happens there. It's madness, really. You must go there. Okay, so we want sweet water in our taps. You know, sanitation is nice. You know, have we also determined what the total cost would be? Because, as I said, this weather won't self-correct. For alternate sources of water to supply not just Cape Town and the Western Cape, but across the country, Northern Cape, Northwest, KZN, Eastern Cape. You know, we've got a pipeline
that sends fuel from Cape Town to Johannesburg. We can have a pipeline that sends water from up there. Shouldn't be a problem. We should look at those alternatives. Then, you know, Minister, you know, Section 25(2) of the Constitution, it sets out the requirements for the lawful expropriation of land, one of which is in public interest or public purpose. Now, if our dams are being owned by private individuals and we are not expropriating that land and taking back that water, how on earth can we ever expect the ANC to take back the land? If you can't take back the water, what are you doing about taking back our water from private owners for the benefit or for public interest, public purpose? And that shouldn't happen next year. It should happen as soon as possible. Section 25(2) of the Constitution allows you to do exactly that. What progress have you made in expropriating our water? Thank you very much, Chief.
Thank you. You have made a valuable point. I like the formal part of you, when you are formally dealing with issues. The other one does not represent the EFF. The other one that you do, I like this formal one, and you have made a valuable point. So it means that you are going to stick to this formal one. Leave the other one outside, because that does not represent the fighters too. Before I give back to the chair, the back there, I'm going to allow you to speak. Yes. Introduce yourself again so that you are on record, and then we can then, the last person that will speak, then we'll
go. Yes, my name is Agnes Stack from Science and Technology. Chairperson, I only got, I think, one question, really. The thing that I would like to know is these 4,000 dams, I would like to call it licenses. I believe they've got licenses, these 4,000 dams. There's a person or persons attached to them. I would like to have a breakdown of who does these licenses and dams belong to, so that you can also say, at the end of the day, 10 of that dams is in the Western Cape. Because I think I've read the Western Cape, in the Western Cape, in certain parts of the Western Cape, you can give donations of water to the Western Cape. And you do it loud and clear in the media. So we are undermining national government there. As a national government, we're sitting here and some 4,000 people has got licenses for water. And national government has got 353. And that doesn't make sense to me. That tells me that we have to meet with the 4,000 people, owners of the water in South Africa. And I think from there we can start saying, because supposed to be, we are all getting emotional when we hear about the Western Cape and the drought here in the Western Cape. I drive past Teutonia, Glen Riem, and all those places, those farms. Nice green farms, you know? You don't see a problem. But then I don't say there is not a problem. Because I've seen yesterday that people are swimming there in water. Maybe it's the water that came from the donation, I don't know. But all these things, in a nutshell, doesn't make sense if 4,000 people have water licenses, which we don't know where it is. So we can't say where it should go. Whatever plans we put on the table will not materialize because we don't know the most of the water of South Africa, who it belongs to, what is it doing. And you know, Chairperson, what I see in the Western Cape is that the poorest of the poor is the people who suffers. Because you know, they're in Belha. The people are already buying water long time, since last year, early last year. They are buying water already. Other people get it through their taps. And when I think of all these things, it really doesn't make sense. And we have to make sense for the people of South Africa for it. And I hope that we notice it very seriously, that it's not only the Western Cape that's having this drought. It's all over South Africa. Thank you, Chairperson.
No, that's good. Thank you very much. I think you have, again, a valuable contribution. But the point that we must never forget, all of us, that we are lawmakers. We have a responsibility to deal with anything that is abnormal before us. That's one of our responsibilities. But I think the points are made, and the department will have to respond. We have to deal with the way forward. What is it that we must now do to respond to the challenges that we have identified? Honorable Chair, you can take it from where you are.
Thank you, Chair. Apologies once again for coming late in the meeting that I respect. Maybe where we should start is where Dr. Maisela was driving us into. You are also raising the same point. 1990, the Research Commission advised us that 17 years there will be a drought in Cape Town. This is a story that is captured in the Cape Times. And indeed, that happened. That is happening. I guess the question that Dr. Maisela is raising is, what did Cape Town Municipality do so as to avert that crisis? Yes, it's not only Cape Town, but I'm trying to hone it at a specific point that has been reported about. Obviously, something has or was seen, was predicted, out of having to follow certain trends. For me, that is an issue that must not only be addressed now, it must continue. The department has been bringing to us a water master plan, because we have been taking a very keen interest in understanding as to where is our water mostly located. And the patterns in terms of rainfall, I would imagine together with the Agriculture Research Council, that must bring us some answers. Trusting that the Department of Water and Sanitation is working together with those types of institutions. They have readily available information in their own hands. That would be the first point I would really wish to raise. And it talks to planning. If you cannot plan, statisticians talk about if you cannot measure, you will never be able to manage. So that planning talks to that. And it relates directly to a question, Minister of Water and Sanitation, that talks to the urgency of the legislation that is expected to come before us. So as to deal with these issues of inequities insofar as our water resource is concerned. I'm happy that the two of you are here together with the Minister of COPTA. Because the question that must also be addressed relates to the maintenance of our infrastructure. And that maintenance also talks to, when we talk about saving of water, it shouldn't really be about using this much and so on and so forth. Saving of our water resource also, in fact, fundamentally, must talk about the water that is leaking through our not so much maintained infrastructure. If our infrastructure is not so much maintained, we are certainly going to have problems. We are going to build all these desalination plants and all of these, but for as long as we still have water leaking, we must start there before we can even talk about new plants and new innovations. Let's start there, where there is that loss of water, where that revenue that is not accounted for is lost. Now, the question, I guess, linked to the point raised by Mr. Chauke there is, what is the purpose of building any dam? At Jozini, there is only one individual there who happens to be a friend of mine, Charles Senegal. He's the king of that dam. Big dam. But the Makatini flats and those areas surrounding that Jozini dam have no access to that dam. Jozini dam. He, of course, has so much, hundreds of thousands of hectares of plantations of umoba. The purpose of having to build a dam has to be revisited, I guess, within the same context of the agents of the legislation. Maybe my last point should be about, which I did not hear much, the reuse of our water. At the UN meeting last year in March, the theme there was about the new water. It's happening as we speak in Palito. There's a plant there. That plant produces water out of wastewater. Guess where that water is going to? For normal drinking, daily use, and other purposes. The most affluent area in Durban, Zimbali Estate, they use that water there. Now with all of these desalination solutions, if we're to follow that trend, we are informed that that can be a fraction of that desalination plant. That technology of using or rather producing water from wastewater. Maybe the point we are not raising here, which is my last point, is about as they do in minerals. The license conditions, among others, if you don't use it, you lose it. If you don't use water, you lose water. So that we don't have your Rhodes University donating money to the Makana municipality, because they have almost 3 meters out of that huge institution. There are only 3 meters there. Now, clearly, they are not built properly. Hence, they can afford to say to the municipality, here is an 8 million rand, it's a gesture. Now, we live in a world wherein we are now recipients of some charity on a very important constitutional right issue. Water is one of those constitutional rights. I thought, Chair, let me make those a few points. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think the inputs that and questions and clarities that members have put forward raises more question about the issues of legislation that will have to come forward, but again, to revisit what we have as legislation, how we issue licenses, the role and functions of water boards, the role of the department in supplying bulk, as Honorable Boson and other colleagues have emphasized that point. The role of local government, Chair, we just come back from Mpumalanga. I want to take it from Mam Kaula, the point she has raised. Great Sibanda district, water treatment plants in all those 7 municipalities have collapsed. And the entire grey water goes into Val River. That whole contamination of Val River. Now, you engage your local municipalities that don't have capacity. They don't have engineers. The only pump chemicals, that's the only thing that they know is chlorine. Everything is chlorine until the whole system blocks. It then overflows into the only most important river, the Val River, highly contaminated. And we're informed in the last meeting now that there's almost 55 billion available that is unspent on maintenance of infrastructure, and that we're informed by National Treasury. I'm now going back to the meeting of the 25th. October, right? Now, we have not yet zoomed into the local issues now. We're still dealing with national issues, and I think some colleagues have begin to raise issues that speaks directly to local. We have a list of presenters who will come after this whole thing, and I think everybody who will come will have noted all the issues that are raised. Like Agri South Africa is here that represent farmers in the country, and I think the point that members are making here, we're not intending to disrupt agriculture in the country, but we're trying to bring in the issue on that must be engaged on of the water rights and the ownership of water, and I think you'll be able to speak on that day on that particular area. The issue of bowls, you saw it minister in the last year 2016 how lack of coordination when it comes to issue of boreholes. Each department will go all out and go and implement the borehole program. Agriculture will do the same, land affairs will do the same, local municipalities will do the same, Department of Water and Sanitation will do the same. At some point, somewhere in the Free State, one municipality infected more than 200 boreholes, and then only half of them are working. And the expense that goes out there, the money that gets spent. Now research, people just, you know, it becomes a holiday, a money-making scheme somehow. People end up, you know, having it for themselves to just carry on with doing goals and all of that. So we need to begin to scale down, identify our role as parliament. And I think we are beginning to identify what is it that we need to do, right? And then departments will then have to now speak to the issues that are raised by members. And I think in that note, the province will be able to have noted the issues that require intervention, and the local municipalities will have to do that. We'll have to listen to the Eastern Cape to hear what are the issues there. They're here, it's very, very important. But the commitment already been made here that dealing with the issue of drought now is not only the Western Cape, and then the point that is made earlier that why are we now getting serious because it's the Western Cape. It's not us. We have been, in fact, dealing with issues of drought time in memorial. This committee has been engaging with the Giani project. We even went to Giani, and those were interventions around issues of drought. So it's ongoing work that we do as a committee. We're not ignited because now it's the Western Cape. We see confusion and problems that we see in the Western Cape that require ourselves, in fact, to assist in that regard. You know, so I think our objective out of this meeting is to come up with a solution that all of us understand, and Minister Jeff Van Rooyen has spoken about the communication strategy. We must know who's in charge of drought. It cannot be anyone that speaks about drought and we end up doing other things politically which are not right. If it's that department must give leadership. We don't expect them to sit back.
when there are problems at any local municipality, they must move in there as a department that is responsible for drought. Because when you don't do that, you're going to allow these other players to come and contaminate the process. And then it becomes a fight that you now see that in the Western Cape, you know, the city of Cape Town, the mayor is being fired because he has not implemented anything of water and all of that. We don't want it like that. We don't want it like that. We must give leadership. So on that note, can we therefore respond to the question that members, please note, if you're not satisfied about your question, we're still going to have another small round again on clarities. Okay? We'll still give you, because this is one of the most important meetings that we have to find some kind of a solution to the challenge that is facing the country. Okay, can we, we'll take a guide from you, Minister, as to how you're going to respond on the issues raised. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair, but also I must also commend the members for questions and some of the comments that were made. I think majority of comments and the question posed will help us in terms of enhancing our response to the challenge at hand. Now, Chair, what we will do, because I have consolidated all the questions. I mean, I can reliably tell you, Chair, that I have noted out of that consolidation process 32 questions that need to be responded to. So I will allow our technical committee to respond, and I must emphasize that the technical committee composition is mainly driven. In fact, all the people who are sitting in the technical committee are decision makers, not just senior junior officials. I mean, we have from COPTA, in the absence of the DG who is currently abroad, we have the head of the Disaster Management Center, who is, of course, I mean, at the management level. And, of course, we have the acting DG from Water and Sanitation. And we have representation also from Fishery and other departments. So we'll allow all of them, Chair, I mean, to respond as part of the technical committee. And then thereafter, we will definitely field our response as the executive authority. Thank you very much. We'll start with Dr. Tau.
Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Chair and Honourable Members. I'll deal with questions that relate to COCTA in as far as its coordination responsibility is concerned, and will request MISA CEO to... Okay, I understand he's not here. I thought he would deal with the issues around O&M and infrastructure matters. But majority of questions as I've been listening would be addressed by the colleague from Water and Sanitation. So from a coordination perspective, the issue of the level of officials has been responded to by Minister. It is correct. I can only confirm that. And the participation of the Department of Social Development, I think that's just the risk of trying to mention. I apologize, I missed them. They are a very critical stakeholder in this process, and in fact we have reports on spending of funds in terms of the social relief of distress in all the provinces. We have figures to that effect. The question relating to the grant total for the Western Cape, the requested funds for the Western Cape. I think there's a slide, which would be slide 29. Okay, just is this 29? I'll talk to the new request. Yes. Yes, we can see there, slide 29 shows that City of Cape Town additional request is so much, Matsigama is so much, Drakenstein is so much, and this is all for hydrological drought, which has to address water infrastructure. So that is the breakdown that I can confirm, Honourable Member. There's also a question on the
maybe one last point. Can you talk about the spending? There was related to that issue of the request, the issue of the spending. Can you elaborate more? And then as you do that, can you deal with capacity to spend? I think it's one of the questions that will then, you know, confirm if you say this is the money they have requested, at the same time they can spend money, what are the issues there? So maybe you may want to deal with that, but I think you have noted that.
Yes. Thank you very much. In respect of the spending, we can indeed confirm that of the 74.8 million allocated in August 2017, of which the 40 million for agriculture was confirmed in finalized in towards the end of 2017. As at 31st of December, 24.3% was spent. That is as at 31st of December 2017, but the report was received on the 12th of January 2018, reflecting that 24.3% spending. But we learned yesterday that the spending is around 40%, and that the rest of the money has been committed. And also to state that because the money was supposed to spend over a period of 3 months, in which case if you are not able to, you submit a motivation to National Treasury through the NDMC, and I can confirm that that was done, and an extension has been granted for the province to spend the money until 31st of March, and I think the agricultural one until April 2018.
Sorry, because I'm going to, on behalf of the committee, I think the dialogue I'm going to create is just to try and guide questions as they are responded to at the same time, right? It's important that you should sort of elaborate just a little bit of failure to spend. Can you deal with that part? Because you say that they've sent the motivation, they've requested an extension. Just elaborate what is the reason why they can't spend money when they're given money. I'm not creating much a dialogue, but it's important that you must be able to pick up what members are raising and how you respond to the question of members. So that we don't have to come back and ask you a question. It's not a one line, thank you very much, they have spent 74%, thank you. Give us the reasons why they have not spent money. So members don't have to repeat this again. I mean, you're a tried and tested civil servant, high level. You take decisions. So talk to members so that members are at ease in understanding these whole issues. Because I'll tell you the reason why. If you are given money to intervene and you can't spend it, what you always find is that money gets returned back to treasury. And what are the reasons? And this is what we're trying to have an understanding. Does municipality have capacity to spend the money that we're going to give them? They have made extra requests of extra millions that they want there. Are they going to spend that money? It goes back to the point that the colleague has been putting it there that if they can't spend, please let someone do it. I think Dr. Maisela has raised the point that if they can't spend it, give it to someone that can spend the money and do the plans. I think by now you're supposed to understand the line in which this committee is coming with. So, yes. So I'm going to allow that was your question. It was his question, in fact. But I may give you just a second, not more than a second. Okay.
Can we also add, then, Chair, the 200 million given to Butterworth, a question that I asked, so that we cover them both. It's on the same section.
Just try and, you know, a collective thing with a funding, and then just round up for the and then we can help with other people. Because the technical are more on the water space now. I think you deal with, I mean, the detail was judged by the Department of Water. Let me not say for detail, but for thinking that line of talking about the funding, the funds are different.
Okay, thank you, Chair. I appreciate
Chair,
the guidance.
You have a point, from Johnson, that you want to advance from the point that you are making here. Okay, no, that's fine.
Thank you very much. We have engaged the province in respect of reasons for underspending, And I want to also believe the province will elaborate on this when they, or clarify when they have the opportunity to present. But the issues can basically be grouped into two categories. The first is the procurement question. The second one is the authorizations in terms of the water use licenses that were required. We can confirm that that has been addressed, Chairperson. The ULAS have been issued, and therefore the work will unfold as per the collaboration that we have with the province and supported by the Department of Water and Sanitation. There's also an issue about, okay, how many IMTT meetings were held last year. I think that's the issue that the minister will assist us to address. There's an issue about on slide 21. On slide 21 is about non-spending. Okay, let me explain this issue in this manner. When we are dealing with the drought in 2016, a request that was made to Treasury was exceeding the amount available in the provincial and municipal disaster grant. And it was then felt that because of the magnitude of the situation, an amount of over 500 million should be accessed from the contingency reserve, which constituted then the 212 and the 341 that went to water and sanitation. Because in the provincial disaster grant, there was only 111 million. And I'll state what was some of the money used for from that allocation. So the decision was then to say, because we need more than what is available in the emergency grant, let's get money from the contingency reserve. So the 100 million that remain plus the municipal disaster grant, part of it was used for the Merafong sinkhole rehabilitation. And of course, as members have correctly noted, there was still a saving that had to be declared, but we are continuing to make sure that we prioritize spending in these areas. I was just trying to clarify that aspect.
200 million for Butterworth.
Yes, that will be answered by colleagues from Water and Sanitation, and I saw in the presentation by the Eastern Cape Province is also captured. Yes. There's a question about what mechanisms you put in place to ensure proper spending of the funds. Firstly, when funds are applied for, we request business plans. And that business plan then translates into project plans. And these are managed by a multidisciplinary team. We call them project steering committees, depending on the nature of the intervention. If it's around rehabilitating schools, we'll have education. If it's about health or roads and so on and so forth, we'll have them on board. So we monitor according to the project milestones. But of course, as we indicated, there can be procurement challenges and there can also be licensing requirements which have to be satisfied, and therefore that could affect the process. Okay, when will the money be available after the declaration? The purpose of the declaration is to activate extraordinary measures. And extraordinary measures might include prescribing regulations to strengthen compliance, might imply issuing directives, might imply fast-tracking procurement processes or reprioritizing within the existing budget. It does not automatically translate into additional financial injection from outside. But once you have explored all those options and your available resources can still not cope, then we will consider reports for a recommendation to the National Treasury. But it's important that you first explore all those avenues and resources available within provinces. That's why you'll see in the Eastern Cape presentation some amount have been reprioritized, about 3 million to deal with the situation. Other provinces have done the same, and if that is required, we can also provide all that information. I want to appreciate also the input about the need to dealing with other provinces that have not declared, because the strategic thrust of the disaster management function, risk management function, is to prevent and prevent the escalation or the increase of new risks. And therefore, this national coordination arrangement will help those provinces to activate extraordinary measures to prevent the escalation of the disaster situation in their provinces. So they will definitely benefit in that respect. What is done in response to early warnings, as it has been pointed out, we look at all the scientific aspects pertaining to disaster reduction, so that we have scenarios that we work towards in terms of reducing risk. Also looking at the population growth and implications on disaster risk issues as it relates to infrastructure, how we build, how we manage projects, and where we put those projects. So we are always forward looking in dealing with those issues. I think the other comments were advices, but some fall within the water sector, and therefore I'll leave it for colleagues in that area. I'm sorry that colleagues from MISA are not here to be able to go deeper into the technical issues, but I can be guided by Minister also. Thank you very much.
Okay, now thank you very much. I thought in your closing, as the head of disaster management, you'll be able to predict the future as you close, obvious that what we're dealing with here now is informed by the following moving forward. You did have a slide that talks about the climate pattern, but I think you may want to say something that you want to share with this committee, that what is it that we're dealing with. I thought you may want to do that. Maybe in closing, your minister will do that, maybe, in closing. Let me leave you for now.
Okay, Minister, what are the water space?
Thank you very much, Chair, and let me acknowledge some of the comments made, very valuable comments, and the observations that have been raised. I'm going to invite both Trevor and Desigan. The team here, we also have Advocate Mpaha, Senior Counsel, who's also been working with our teams looking at the legality around commodification and trafficking on water, including these issues that are related to donations and ownership and access of that resource. We are, and I think the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee also raised it, and yourself, Chair, the issues around the legislative review that would also have to give us an opportunity to deal with what is the constitutional obligation that has been raised by the member of the EFF who's here in the meeting. Because those are some of the things that we have to deal with that are coined in the public space as your sunset clauses. And one of the things that we are now seeing coming from the policy processes and stuff is that the sun has to rise so that then we all have access to this water, which is a national resource. And I think three other colleagues have raised it from the Agriculture Portfolio Committee, and it would be important therefore that as the Department of Land Affairs, Land and Rural Development deals with these issues of land and land restitution, we also are working on this matter. Chairperson, we know that the bulk of the dams in our country were similar to what the chairperson was talking about, dams for purpose. And predominantly, with that history, it was either for energy or it was for agriculture irrespective of whether there are communities around. And hence there's been progress around Jozini. As we speak now, we have more than 26 villages around Jozini who, for the first time since 2016, are now having access to the water that comes from the Jozini Dam, which has been built over 43 years ago, and yet communities never had access. We are also creating capacity for the different municipalities around Mkanyagude with regard to their capacity to utilize the water that is being distributed there. Part of what is a challenge, and I think we are beginning to attend to those issues, it's around the issues of water security and the inability to reticulate. And therefore planning becomes quite important, but going beyond planning, it's implementation and securing funds so that then once a dam is built, the latest area that I was at in general was in the Owatambo district, where you've got a Numtata dam that is full, but the reticulation is actually at a snail pace. So these are some of the things that we are looking at, and working together with COPTA, we are addressing the inability of the municipalities to deal with these issues, including the inconsistencies around the capacity and the roles and responsibility where a district is a water service authority and not a municipality. So Owatambo, for example, is one of those areas that we are beginning to work together with the Department of COPTA in addressing those issues that are related to reticulation, which is not necessarily in our space, but it is a competency of local government. Therefore, those of us who are the lawmakers, we definitely have to come back and reflect on what has happened since 1994 and the adoption of the Constitution. And I think it is that I think can help us even on the issues of land expropriation, including elements that have to do with water and use and access to water as a national asset. The other thing I want to also really plead for, sometimes it's correct that we should have honorable members who have an understanding of companies that can provide solutions, but this must not be a bidding committee meeting where we are given information about which company is better placed to provide the service. Because if it was on the other side, it would have been said to be a corrupt act. And therefore, whether it's a ship that donates, we have to check the merits of that donation and where the source of that water is coming from and what is in it, because it might be perceived to be in kind, and yet it is for the privileged. And those that are prepared, let them come forward to the proper processes and let them be actually attended to in the manner that any other capacity is going to be attended to. And I want to also share for the record, truly for the record, indicate that in Richards Bay we spent 290 million. We spent 290 million. And the indications on here in the Western Cape, it's around 390, that's 230. And what it means is because of the additional piping that would have to happen in this particular area. And we are already moving with the city of Cape Town. So I really would plead with members of parliament to refrain from giving proposals indirectly. There's a process in the city of Cape Town that is being attended to. Our team from the national department are working on these issues. It's not the first time that Honorable Basson has raised this issue of the ship that's coming to donate water. Everywhere this has been raised, my humble plea is, let the private sector be subjected to the same process so that then there is no preferential treatment of anyone. The solutions, innovation we embrace, and hence the Water Research Commission is available to work with us in these areas. Chair, the other thing that I wanted to talk about is what is being raised around all other provinces. In fact, honorable members are quite correct. we may be talking about four provinces and assume that all provinces are not affected. In fact, there are many South Africans who are living on day zero. And what we need to deal with is those that are unserved. The situation in Ngakamudiri Mulema in the northwest, we have been making consistent interventions in Makana, and we have been discussing Makana, I think, in our portfolio committee chair for the record, and I'm sure with your interaction with COPTA, we can find a way forward on how best we can then save the situation. And Comrade Def, the minister, would be in a position to say, these are some of the things that we are considering in terms of moving forward with the cities and municipalities of that particular nature. The issue that has been raised also about alternative water sources, correctly so, with part of what has been a challenge in South Africa over time has been over-reliance on surface water and not reuse, like what is happening in the KZN area, the issues around the wastewater treatment plants, the maintenance and operations of it, the issues of groundwater, and of course, rainwater harvesting, as well as desalination. We have a coast that is very long that can be explored, and that can actually help us to redirect our means. On the planning, I think Desigan, when he speaks from the Water Research Commission, he will indicate, and I think some of the schemes that we are doing now in the West, in Cape Town, have to do with the plans that were supposed to have been implemented from that period when the Water Research Commission gave this hint. And I'm sure there can be good lessons that we are learning, working together with the city of Cape Town and the Western Cape. I must register for the record, Comrade Chair, that there is a very good working relationship with AgriSA nationally. And part of what we have been able to achieve is the cooperation in terms of demand management, because they've been the biggest users. So there's been a lot of cooperation to an extent where we are now also beginning to make them realize the need to discuss issues of land ownership, including the resources such as water, and hence the legal issues and what one is also proposing, that let's deal with these issues about land expropriation, let's deal with the issues around the expropriation of land, of course, making sure that we deal with inequalities, but of importance we protect our agricultural sector for the good of our economy. And that does not mean expropriation means we will impact negatively on the economy. In fact, we want to encourage more participation in growing our economy. The other thing that I think I want to just raise, colleagues, is the issue around bulk water supply. I think Trevor would, I've asked him not to give us a background, just the real bulk water infrastructure projects that we are already implementing, working together with the city and everybody. The last thing, Chair, that I would say, it is not us who have said there's day zero. We don't understand how some people somewhere decided to talk of day zero. It's not us. Precisely because we have had plans and we have been working and we have been implementing, like what the doctor was saying, it's a predetermined, what do you do? And I think part of what why we are now dealing with the issues as we are is because of the protracted processes that we have had to really make the province understands its responsibility on the agricultural sector, its responsibility on having a 20 to 30 year plan that has to deal with water, and lastly, to deal with the capacity and the sources of water without choosing one over the other. And I think those are some of the things that you would pick up when we deal with these issues, so that colleagues, honourable members, can have an appreciation of the efforts we have been making. And for now, I think I can state, Honourable Bradell and Honourable Mayor, we've been working very well. What happened over the last 3 weeks, we don't know what had triggered that. But I think the Minister of COCTA will also speak about those issues, because in the spirit of cooperative governance, we've been working very well, including with Mayor Patricia Delisle. Trevor sits in the Water Resilience Committee of the City of Cape Town, and we have provinces, all of them having their provincial disaster management committees being active, monitored by NDMC. Dr. Tau is here in the province almost weekly of now late, and he gives us the report. What we must really try and plead for, Chair, is this thing of, again, bringing other people to come in and deal with this issue to an extent where it is like there is no coordination, there is no work being done. Because that's what has been a challenge of now late. And I think you who exercise oversight on us and having summoned us here to the House, you must talk at a multi-party level to say, let's recognize our systems of governance, so that then we refrain from dealing with these issues in another manner. I think what we have seen on the response now in Nelson Mandela is different from what has been pronounced when people were pronouncing Day Zero here in the Western Cape. In the event there is no water, NDMC has got the plans to activate, and that includes the issues around the delivery points, the issues around alternative sources. The thing that we really want to avoid is to create a state of panic when other people have been patiently waiting, but also commodification of water. We must actually also deal with commodification of water. And the last one, Chair, is what you are raising, the policy issues around this national asset called water, and the proposal around looking at the Hulas, I think from the Honourable Member, that must be the start. Let's go and check who's under whose name is the license of these other 4,000 dams that they travel.
Before Trevor comes in, now we're dealing with high level, Trevor. I know that I'll give you a chance as a technocrat. It's high level, pulled here, and she deals with a number of key areas. There are points that were raised by Honorable Johnson on the usage of grey water, right? And I think that's an area that would require us to talk about how do we tap again into this resource that goes to the sea here. That's been tapped into. We went to Sosol not long ago, and we saw how Sosol, next to the Vaal River, but they use grey water rather than using the ocean. Now, we need, again, Minister, to emphasize this point. And clarity, I think, is required not only for members here and for the general public. This story of the Day Zero, what is this thing called the Day Zero, right? Because it even have a time frame that come May the 2nd, on this day there will never be water again. We need clarity there. You know, it reminds me when we were heading towards the year 2000, when people were like, computers are going to change, computers are going to have chickens inside coming out of computers and all of that. Now, what we need here is clarity so that members of the public outside there, they know, because let me tell you what's happening now. The price of water has gone up.
Yeah.
Those who can afford, they are buying water. Those who can't afford, they are panicking. Business of JoJo's has gone very high. Right? The JoJo that was 1,002 is now almost 3,000 now at the JoJo tank. Right? The pump that goes to the JoJo tank. That's business. There's no PE there in the JoJo industry, Minister. There's no PE in the pumps. Right, but some monopoly capital is benefiting out of this whole system. So the point I'm making is that from this meeting here, let us just be assured where we are, at what point are we going to experience, or are we going to experience any danger. That's what Trevor must present maybe as you speak, but Minister, it's very important that the issue of, I've noted the hands, I'll come, they will give you. The issue that Minister of everyone speaking about issues of water will have to come to an end, that particular arrangement. Whoever that goes out who's not part of the system
must never talk about water and the day zero and create more confusion to the public. Because one day we're going to get into these meetings as politicians and we'll be beaten up because we'll not have answers. So we need answers and we need clarity. That's why the point I was making was that if this department under Minister Des Van Rooyen is the department that speaks with authority on issues of water and issues of drought in particular, let it be so. We must hear you, Minister Van Rooyen. We can't have other spokespersons that we don't know when we are there. You know, when the president puts you there, he gives you a responsibility that you are the minister. You don't have other ministers except you. So we want to hear that authority coming from you. Minister of Water and Sanitation, every day you are the one that gets left and right and all of that. Issues of sanitation, we are now, in fact, dealing with issues of recirculation. When it's not even your responsibility, it's a responsibility of local government. Now, in the last annual report that was dealt with of the department, we're dealing with overspending in Kiani, which was not responsible, but we have to intervene because the department that is responsible for drought was never ignited. Even if it came with 200 million, when the expenditure there is more than 4 to 5 billion. And currently, the Auditor General says that they have overspent regularly. And we are going to investigate that as a committee now. You see? So, the department that is responsible for drought, please take charge. Take charge of this responsibility so that we close all of this confusion that we see of people who are now spokespersons who are doing all of these things on your behalf without you be giving them a mandate. So I thought that, Minister, you wanted to talk about the issue of on water solutions. We have agreed, I think, colleagues from other portfolios will understand that. We have agreed that there are two things that happened. The department organized a week in Durban, and all companies that are responsible for solutions and all of that, we then said the Water Research Commission is responsible for that. And anyone that has a solution, please, Water Research Commission is there available to listen to whatever, solution that is there. So that this committee and committees of parliament are sealed from sort of beginning to mobilize for those that want to make business in the water space, okay? So Honorable Basson knows that point, and we've made the point, and he keep on raising it, but yes, it's correct, because there are other solutions, and the chair always says that doing more with less means that you must ignite solutions that are available there, rather than using the old traditional system that we've been using of pumping all the time, tender, come, next tender, and all of that. It does not help us. So Minister, the day zero issue, just emphasize on that point, then we can give Trevor to now deal with the technical part. Can you just come back and emphasize the point of what is this day zero story?
Chairperson, thank you very much. Day zero is firstly, let me not even try and start at the end, but explain that what you have, it's a situation where the resources have been overused within a short space of time without the control and management of the demand. And if that continues unabated, the demand management, it puts more pressure on the source, such that even with your projections on how you can be in a position to use the little that you have, because I think the city of Cape Town had looked at the projection of a 13.5% dam level and indicate that that would actually create a situation because you can't further abstract when the dam levels are at 13.5. We can avoid that possibility. And that's why, and we shall, if we do the following, if we manage the demand by adhering to the restrictions and enforcing that those restrictions apply particularly to the big water users, and hence the restrictions of 60% now and for agriculture and 45% now for industrial and household use. The other issue is about looking at alternatives and implementing them, like the drillings that we are doing, the exploration around the aquifers, the issues around the desalination. We have, I think the issue that we have raised as well on the wastewater treatment plant. Minister Van Rooyen's team, MISA, has actually started the work, and here in the Western Cape, I think we've got two municipalities that are already using grey water. And it is that we want to make as a practice to retrofit our systems and make sure that the municipalities have these wastewater treatment plants and were able to access that water for either agriculture. In other places, it can also be used up to a drinking level. So it is those things that are being worked on. The issue again, which I want to go back to, is that in the event where there is no water altogether, you plan for a disaster, and hence this work falls under COPTA, to say there must be points where there will be distribution of water, there must be systems that would be activated to provide the resource beyond the dams that exist, and thirdly, there must be a protection particularly for human consumption first, as well as for health. I think there were colleagues from the Department of Health, and then any other user. What is of importance, Chair, is that we have not yet, and the sector has not yet said that come April or come May, it is a projection that we believe must come into the NDMC, even if it is being picked up by a local disaster management committee or a provincial disaster management committee, rather than it being raised at the political level. And then the interventions become uncoordinated. You create a sense of panic and so on and so forth. And you punish the worst that are more vulnerable. Part of what we are dealing with is to say, for the city of Cape Town, 30,000 boreholes in private households. How do we deal with that? Secondly, the chairperson is talking about Palito and Zimbabwe. We must also learn those best practices where, out of a crisis, a department of planning had to change the conditions in terms of property development and encourage the use of renewable energy, the use of the reuse of water, and even the restriction in terms of the material that gets used by those who are involved in property development. So these are some of the things that we are, as you are succinctly raising, we are now interrogating, and some of them we have started to do, working together with both the city and the province in terms of disaster management. So day zero is at that point where you deal with level three, and where you say there is nothing, and we're saying, if we change behavior, if you effect demand management, if you reuse, if you implement the plans accordingly, then you will avoid day zero.
So the point is made, I see that, and I'm going to give you. I think the point is made here that the issue of day zero is still at the local level. It needs to be escalated to the IMCT. That's where it must be then processed there. And announced. In fact, I think it has been pronounced at the local level, but we'll hear when we hear the province and local making a presentation. I think those issues will come up. But let's flag it, but let's agree in principle that there must be, because part of what we're trying to do here is to bring in that coordination to happen in place. So I see that hand there. Introduce yourself again. I'm sorry that.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I'm Ian Nielsen, the Deputy Mayor of Cape Town. My apologies for late arrival, but I have been here for more than an hour now. Mr. Chair, you're absolutely right in terms of we need clarity on what we mean by day zero, because I think it does mean different things to different people. You know, for some people it means when the water's completely run out. So, I mean, in the city we took a decision that we needed to define this for our own purposes. And so essentially what we defined it as was when we had to move from level 6 restrictions to level 7 restrictions. That's in terms of our our set of restrictions. And level 7 is this worst case of where we have to shut off half of the network and people have to start collecting water in drains. So that was the definition we've used.
That's fine. I don't want to elaborate more, but I think you have sort of clarified that. You are going to be given an opportunity to make a presentation. I think you'll be able to elaborate more on the Day Zero and other programs that are in place. So we'll give you the opportunity. And welcome again, Deputy Mayor. I just read a message from Mayor from Nelson Mandela that the apology was sent to the committee. So mayors that are here, we are happy to have you. In fact, at some point, Minister Dell must get all the mayors and have a meeting with mayors and portfolio committee meeting dealing with issues of drought. But thank you very much for coming. But in your presentation again, as you come, please, you must be able to talk to us about grey water. Grey water, the water that we pump back to the sea there. How do you as municipality try look at how best we can tap into that water? It's a point that is raised by the chairperson there that the issue of grey water becomes quite very important. War on leaks is one area again. The water that we lose, he has made that point again. We need to find some kind of a solution to do that. Because we can pump water at the same time losing almost 50% of that water again. Right? So Trevor, you are now on the floor. You can come in.
Good afternoon, Honourable Chair. Good afternoon, members. I'm Trevor Balser from the Department of Water and Sanitation. Honourable Chair, I'm not going to go into deep technical detail. There is a presentation that's been circulated for supplementary information, but I'm just going to touch at a high level on some of the augmentation activities that we are involved with, particularly in the Western Cape. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to understand that we have a multi-pronged strategy in terms of dealing with the Western Cape in terms of augmentation, and that covers desalination, it covers groundwater optimization, it covers water conservation demand management, reuse optimization, or that issue that Honourable Johnson raised around new water, and then squeezing more water out of the system. So I'm going to just cover those at quite a high level, but just to suffice to say that most of the augmentation or the additional resources that we're trying to bring in is really as a safety measure in the event of the system performing differently to what we projected it to perform. The system will be at its lowest level in round about May, June, at which stage we would normally expect rainfall as well. But if that event doesn't happen, that we do have a bit of a belt and braces. But what is the department doing under the guidance of the minister in terms of trying to get more water into the system? On the major augmentation side, we've made the offer from the department. The minister has given a directive to Mgeni Water to procure a 10 megalitre plant as an emergency intervention. And just before this meeting, I came out of the portfolio committee meeting, I came out of a meeting with the City of Cape Town where we were discussing how and when we would mobilise that plant and the siting for that particular plant. So there are further meetings that will take place tomorrow as well. The other aspect which a directive has been given to the TCTA is around the augmentation of the, well, it's a Berg River full flow augmentation project, and they've been given an instruction to implement that project. It's a medium-term project where we would expect to have water coming into the system from about the winter of 2019-2020 onwards, and that is where we pump water from the Berg River, lower end of the Berg River, and we pump it back into the Fulflay Dam to augment the supplies. We also, as squeezing water out of the system, are preparing at the moment to make sure that we can access what has commonly been called the dead storage in the Fulflay and the Tierwaterskloof dams, and we've got our construction units on that, where we will move the water which is in the body of those dams to get it into the intake towers. Full flow in particular.
Which document are you talking about? Where do you have a document?
I'm talking from the head, yes, ma'am.
No, we're not on the head.
Oh, okay. No, you want me to go through that presentation?
Yeah.
I thought you wanted it at high level.
We have technical issues,
yeah.
And then we don't have record. Because tomorrow you will say we never said that, you know, and that will create problems for us.
There's a 5-minute stretch.
Okay, 5 minutes is given. Can we stretch for 5 minutes? And then maybe the chair would have to come. I don't know. Where is the chair?